passes long, the hit is hard, and the running's fast. It's time for high school football. This is the WCLT High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7. Tonight's game is brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Licking Memorial Health Systems, KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center, Lashley Tractor Sales, and Mike's Ruby.
Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7 as the unbeaten Heath Bulldogs take on the Bobcats of Creston, Norway, also coming in at 2-0. Hi, everybody. Brian Mays, Garrett Wando. Welcome to what we think will be another great game here tonight on Kate 98.7. Garrett, this Heath Bulldog Ball Club last year a disappointing 6-5 mark, losing in the first round of the playoffs to Wheelersburg. They have come out guns a-blazing to start this season. The expectations were high, and so far they're meeting them.
Yeah, I mean, all we really heard about the past 2 years, it seems like, for Heath is just wait till two more years, just wait till next year. This team, you know, that's when this team's really going to set up to make a deep run in the playoffs. And so far, they have not disappointed. They came off a very impressive 46-17 win against Licking Valley last week. And like you said, Norwegian comes in undefeated as well. This is probably their most difficult opponent to date. So a big test for them here tonight. And Mason Moyer for Norwegian. I'm curious to see how Heath will handle him both offensively and defensively on the side of the ball. I think he's going to be an impact player to look out for on the Bobcats.
You know, we saw a great quarterback last week in Steele Meister, and we saw his development from a sophomore to a senior. See the same thing here with Braden Bayless, the senior quarterback for the Heath Bulldogs. He has gotten better each and every season, and it is a luxury when you've got a quarterback that says a three-year starter leading you in his final campaign.
Yeah, absolutely, and kind of a dual-threat type of guy, similar to Steele. Bayless has been outstanding so far this year, both throwing and running the football, and then he's got Connor Corbett in the backfield to help him out too, to relieve some of that pressure. They've been kind of the deadly 1-2 combo in the backfield. Heath averaging 47 points per game on offense, and I'm sure they're looking to explode onto the scene here tonight again.
Should be a good matchup. When we come back here, we'll speak to Heath High School football coach Tim Ward. That's next as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, folks, it's Andy Ritberger. There's nothing better than taking your tailgate party up a notch or two, and all it takes is one stop at the Ritberger North Market to get our brats, hot dogs, steaks, ribs, and pork tenderloin. I got to tell you that what's on your grill can make or break your party, so come see us at the Ritberger North Market on Maple Avenue in Zanesville. And if you're in the Buckeye Lake area, check out our new store, the Ritberger Market at the Lake.
Trillium Farms, one of the country's leading egg producers, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, they want you on their team. Hiring maintenance technicians, shippers, production, and processing workers. They offer some of the highest earnings in the industry, a very competitive benefits package, and a $2,000 sign-on bonus. View current openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Lashley Tractor Sales on Kate 98.7.
So, Coach, I know a lot of folks like to see progression from week one to week two. You obviously had a very stellar week one against Liberty Union offensively and defensively. Better competition in week two. How did you feel the team did progress and moving to 2-0 to get ready for this matchup?
You see a lot of growth between your scrimmages in week one and then again from week one to week two. So we saw a lot of things that we really liked. We actually saw a lot of problems that we had in week one that we were able to overcome because of athleticism and just physicality. So we were able to clean some of those things up going into week two. Really liked the way our guys responded, especially when we had some adversity early. Came out that first drive and were able to put them behind the sticks right away and then gave up a big third down for a touchdown. And just the way our guys responded to that, and kind of relished in the leadership of some of the older guys who've been through it before, who just understand that that was one play in the game. It's not the whole game. It's just a play. And so just the way we responded during those times of adversity is probably the biggest thing that I took from it.
And you got the lead. You're up 27-10. They come out. They get to within 10. And this is where I guess you see the leadership and the makeup of your ball club. They found another gear and really hammered it home to beat a very good-looking Valley team, you know, in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Licking Valley is always going to have good athletes. They're always going to be tough. They're always going to be physical. You know they're well coached. And so just to come out and respond to that was big. I mean, a couple years ago, I guess it's more than a couple years ago now, but my first year coaching, we were up 13 on them in the fourth quarter and just couldn't hang on and got a little bit too conservative from our coaching standpoint and our players. And so to see them be able to close the gap to 10 points there and then just to take off again and to really raise the intensity and raise that physicality was extremely pleasing for me to just watch our guys respond in that way.
And you talked about it in the summer about finishing. And obviously that was a huge finishing statement against Valley. Have you noticed that with this senior group that, yeah, we had some close games last year that maybe we could have found a way to get a victory, and that's that mindset. No lead is good enough. We're going to finish this from the first kickoff to the final gun.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of been an old saying around here that you just want to give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter. And while I agree that at times makes sense, last year, if you look at our regular season record, we were 6-4. Out of those four losses, every single one of them, we were within 7 points going into the fourth quarter. And then in three of them ended up turning out fairly lopsided. And so just that ability to be able to finish a game, to be able to hold on, and not just hold on, but continue to push the gas in the fourth quarter, I think was huge. And I think a lot of that, we talked with our players, our seniors specifically, a lot of that is, even if it's subconsciously, last year, in the back of your mind somewhere, there's always that thought that, well, we still have next year. We still have next year. Well, we talked a lot over the summer with our seniors, like, there is no next year. It's now or never. The things that you have worked for, the things that you have strived for, it's time to either put up or shut up, because time is dwindling down for you.
You have a lot of talented players that play on both sides of the ball. Is that, I guess it can be a blessing and a curse, because you don't want them fatigued. And I know a couple of them said, it is my senior year and I don't mind playing every play. So how do you balance such great athleticism by trying maybe not to have them do too much? Because it is a long season. We're just in week three, and you're going to rely on these guys a lot coming down the stretch.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things with that. Number one is we had went into the season with the hopes of really trying to two platoon as much as possible. We only had one or two guys that we thought we couldn't two platoon with. And then football happens. Guys get hurt. Guys get banged up. And so we've got several guys banged up right now. Unfortunately, most of them are at the same position. And so we got to take a couple guys and stretch them a little bit thinner than we would like to be. But also with that comes an opportunity for younger guys to get a chance. Guys that are, right there on the cusp of an opportunity to help on a Friday night, and who might not get that chance if we take our best guy and play him both ways. But our thought is if we have our best guy on both sides of the ball, they're only going to be our best guy for so long, and eventually they're going to get wear down. That might be the fourth quarter. That might be week five. It might be week 10. Whatever the case might be, at some point they're going to wear down. And if we can take a guy who's almost ready and push him to be at that varsity conditioning and at that varsity level in physicality, that only makes the other guy better also, who's only going one way, or maybe just a spot player on the other side of the ball. And so we tried to work a lot of our younger guys into special teams and things like that, just helping to boost them over the edge of what we need for them to be able to compete 5-10 plays on a Friday night and hopefully maybe even a starting position.
How nice is it to have a senior quarterback that's been a 3-year starter and got some reps even as a freshman, knowing you've got a guy that understands the system, knows when to make plays, and really seems to be really, really comfortable with where he's at right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tremendous blessing. He is a great player, even more so. He's a great kid. He's a great competitor, which I think in the world of sports and especially football, the biggest compliment that you can get from somebody is for them to say that you're a competitor. And he wants to be good. He works hard in the off season. Played basketball, ran track, both just to help prepare him physically for this season. He's always calling guys on the weekends, trying to get guys to come up and throw and run routes and things like that. And so he wants to be good, and he wants the team to be good. And so just to have that leadership and that desire coming from our quarterback, I mean, from a coach's standpoint, that's a blessing, because I don't necessarily have to harp on our coaches to push our players when our players are pushing themselves.
Preston Norwayne, a very good program. They come to town. They're 2-0, and they've started out gamebusters on both sides of the ball as well. What impresses you about them getting ready for this matchup?
Well, I mean, what jumps off the film right away is just their overall size. They're extremely big and physical. I mean, Dylan Morlock at tailback for them, also plays some fullback, some H-back, some inside linebacker. He's 6'3", 225, 230 pounds, and definitely does not run like he's that big. I mean, he can move. He's got some good agility and quickness. So just overall, their physicality and their size kind of jumps off the page. But then you look at, as you watch them more, they're very good at what they do. They are on both sides of the ball, are coached very, very well. You can tell that Coach Endorf and his assistant coaches have worked well with them, and they're competitors. Again, kind of like I speak of our own guys, they're competitors, and they're going to compete, and they're going to kind of push us to bring out the best in us, and we're going to push them to bring out the best in them. And the team that can capitalize in those situations is the team that's going to come out with the win.
I know you can't look ahead, but this is a crucial two-game stretch. I don't want to say make or break the season, but when you've got them and then Granville lurking in the wings, what do you tell your ball club, win or lose, for this game Friday night, knowing that Granville's right around the corner, and this is a very key two-game stretch for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, and we built the schedule like that on purpose. I mean, Zanesville in week 5 is our mandatory crossover game for the league. But weeks 1-4 were designed specifically to prepare us for league play. With Liberty Union being a big physical team week 1, and then Licking Valley, like we've already talked about. But then, like you said, this 2-week stretch, Norwayne and Granville, they are going to push us in a lot of different ways. Norwayne with the physicality and the perennial powerhouse in a D5, run the football, stop the run. And then Granville, who's going to put athletes all over the field, throw the ball around. So we built this schedule specifically with the purpose of trying to get to the point of being able to make a run in the playoffs. When the OHSAA decided a couple years ago to expand the playoffs, that really opened up an opportunity for us to not have to schedule wins, but to schedule games that are going to push us to become the best ball team that we can possibly become. And these two games are going to show a lot of whether or not we've rose to the occasion.
Team ready, you feel?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Coach. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Go Dogs.
Thanks to head coach.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254 CT Newark.
Before we get to kickoff, let's pause for station identification on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254 CT Newark, Kate 98.7. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEF's Auto Body and Service Center on Kate 98.7.
Connor Corbett is lined up behind Bayless in the shotgun on first and 10. And Bayless will do an end around and picking up some good positive yards, almost to a first down mark to the 36-yard line. Dalen McIntyre and a good pickup on first down, Garrett.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, how Heath comes out in this game. You mentioned it was 27-17 at one point in that game against Licking Valley before Heath really exploded. And it was, I mean, if you look at the final score, 46-17, you never really thought that that game was close at any point. I think it's important Heath tries to carry over some momentum from that previous game.
Bayless will throw on second and one. He's got some pressure, eludes one man. Now will pump fake, get the first down, and then get out of bounds across the 40-yard line. Didn't force anything right there, and knew he, with his legs he'd be able to pick up the first down.
Yeah, and then you're just seeing the dual threat ability right there from Bayless. And we just saw, I feel like, a very similar quarterback. Bayless maybe not, might not be as big as Meister, but they both have very similar play styles.
So a four-yard pickup gives a first down to the Dogs here to their 43-yard line. Just underway. Beautiful night again for high school football. The breeze has died down. Sunshine, low humidity. Can't ask for much more, and I won't. First and 10. Bayless looking to throw, and it's a pass leading Corbett a little bit too much out of the backfield, incomplete.
Yeah. Norwin catching a little bit of a break right there with that pass falling incomplete. We'll see if they can take advantage here on second down. Try to set up a third and long, maybe obvious passing situation. Try to get the Bulldogs in a passing situation here on the second down.
We talked about Connor Corbett, a man that just can do a lot of things on the football field. Run, catch, he can even throw it. Second down and 10. Two wideouts to the near side, one to the far on the second down play. Bayless keeps it all the way. He's got a good block, 45 midfield into Norwayne territory, but might have a hold on one of the wideouts after Bayless was close to picking up the first down.
Yeah, didn't necessarily even need to get that holding call right there for Heath. He would have basically picked up the same amount of yards, but back again, Heath or Norwayne. Catching a little bit of a break right there. Would have been third and short. Now we'll see where they mark it at. But it'll be, I'm guessing, at least second and long coming up for the Bulldogs.
They're standing at midfield where that probably is where the hold did occur. Now they're going to back it to the Norwayne 47. So you take off 10 yards there. And they'll mark it at the 43 of Heath, so it'll be second down and 10, almost like the play never even happened.
Spoo redo, basically, here. But so far I've noticed Norwayne, even though they've been giving up big plays, their defensive line seems to be having a good push.
Second down, here's a handoff to Corbett, breaks one tackle to midfield, and squeaks into Norwayne territory at the 49, so it's a third and manageable.
Yeah, it's basically just the same sequence of events just occurred, basically. That's about where Bayless stepped out of bounds before the holding penalty. So, yeah, third and short here. No doubt this is probably four down territory here for the Bulldogs unless something disastrous happens.
Third and a long two from the Bobcat 49-yard line on this opening possession for Heath. Bayless in the gun. And here's the handoff to Corbett, and this time he is not able to get out of the tackle of Simon Haniko, and that will make it a fourth, and it changes everything from a fourth and two to now about a fourth and seven.
Yeah, when I talk about disastrous, I mean that's that play is kind of disastrous for him right there because, yeah, four-yard loss, and now, you know, you're back inside your own territory, and the offense looks like they're lined up to go for it. I mean, but if you don't pick this up, Bobcats are going to have in great field position.
Bayless is also the punter, so we have to be wary of that on this fourth down, and he will throw it. They are going for it. Bayless, no one is open. He is scrambling, now fires deep over the middle, and the pass is caught! Unbelievable catch by Connor Toomey. He went up and snared it all the way down to the 21-yard line. Not sure that's how they drew it up, but it works.
Yeah, I don't think Coach Ward cares if how they drew it up after that. That was an incredible catch by Toomey. It looks like Bulldogs are looking to go fast here, keep the momentum rolling.
32 yards. Here's Corbett up the middle to about the 20. So that's got to be frustration for Norwayne. You're facing a fourth and long, the Bulldogs, in their own territory, making Bayless scramble, and still he's able to hit Toomey for a big one.
Yeah, basically, he just kind of threw up a prayer right there. I mean, Toomey, that ball was underthrown. Toomey adjusted. It was kind of a 50-50 ball right there, and Toomey just came out on top. And especially if the Bobcats do give up a touchdown here, I mean, that's the play that they're going to be looking back at and just kicking themselves.
Ninth play of this drive. Here's Corbett along the right side. Gets a couple of nice blocks. Gets to about the 15-yard line. And it'll be third down and about four from there.
Yeah, another big third down coming up here. But once again, probably four down territory. Based off how their last third and short went, they handed it off, big loss. They might just elect a pass here.
Of course, we shouldn't be surprised Coach Ward goes for it. A couple years ago, he went for it from his own 11-yard line against Johnstown. So he has a lot of faith in this offense, and he is showing it early in this game. So third down, closer to five than four on this from the 15, just outside the 15. Bayless will keep it along the left side, needs a couple blocks. He gets them and gets inside the 15, but he still will be short by a couple of yards.
He's just short, but looks like, yeah, they're going to stay about long two. This is a long two here, or they're going to stay fourth and three. So another opportunity for the Bobcats to get off the field. We already saw what happened last time on the their fourth down attempt, so I'm sure all eyes are on Toomey here if you're the Bobcats defense.
So they go full house backfield on this fourth and three. Bayless, and it'll be a handoff right to the first man, and I don't think he got it. Getting the handoff was Caden Green, and it will be a turnover on down. So they tried for their quick handoff, and after picking up one fourth down, an 11-play drive stalls at the Bobcat 13.
Well, I just got to applaud that Bobcat defense. You know, after giving up that big play on fourth down, it can be really easy to just kind of just lose your head, lose some focus there, and then give up a quick touchdown in the next ensuing plays. But they force another fourth down, fourth and short, and that defensive line stood tall. Now their offense has a chance to take over and score some points.
From the 12, it's first and 10, Norway, their first offensive possession. And they will hand it off to, believe that was Dylan Morlock, their tough running back, but he found a lot of no running room right there.
Yeah, both teams so far, the short sample size that we've seen, haven't had too much success running the football. Both of the defensive lines seem to be having their way.
They'll give him 1 yard. That's a tough yard. Second down and nine. Their quarterback is Jackson Siegenhaller, a 6'2 senior who's had very good numbers in the first couple of games. Several touchdown passes. I believe it was four touchdown passes in week one in their 56-7 win over Brookfield. And let's see, we're going to have either offsides against Heath or motion against Norwayne. I believe it'll be against the Bulldogs, and it is. So the second penalty already.
Yep. Now that opens up your playbook now for Norwayne. It was second and nine, now second and four, and you can kind of get a little creative here now if your wish, if you're the Bobcats, maybe take a deep shot here on second down since you don't necessarily have to pick up too many yards here on the conversion.
And again, in their first two contests, pretty good mix of run and throw. They keep you balanced when they have it on the offensive side. And here's a handoff and a big hole up the middle, and getting the first down and more and breaking a couple of tackles is Morlock. He will go across the 30-yard line with some ease and gets the first down.
Yeah, really good push by that offensive line that time. He had multiple holes to go through, and he picked the right one in a big gain for the first down now for the Bobcats. And it'll be interesting to see if they can continue this type of success here on the ground.
16 yards there on the first and 10 now for the Bobcats at their 34-yard line. 7 minutes, quick moving first quarter. scoreless, Bulldogs and Cats. Fake handoff, Sagan Holler to throw, fires, and the catch is made, and getting a first down into Bulldog territory to about the 48-yard line is Logan Hackworth. So that offsides penalty seemed to get Norlane into some gear here, back-to-back first downs.
Yeah, kind of kick-started this offense. They're looking like a well-oiled machine now. I think, yeah, the Bulldogs were not looking like they were expecting a play action that time, kind of sold out blitzing, and it was the right play call. Fowler's receiver on the little crossing route, and nice yards after catch to get past midfield.
At the Bulldog 49-yard line, first and 10, Norwayne out of Wayne County up in northeast Ohio. Here's the pitch. And that time the Bulldog defense was right there. No gain on that rushing attempt. Seeing who that was for Norway, it was Mason Moyer. And back to the line of scrimmage, and that's it.
And so far, I mean, he just needs to try to not hurt themselves here in a situation like this. Try to get the Bobcats in an obvious passing situation. Try to get some of that momentum back. Try to get this home crowd back involved, because it seems like since Norway took possession of the ball here on offense, the crowd's been a little silent.
Second down and 10 from the Heath 49-yard line. Sagan Holler in the gun. And looks like we've got a penalty and might be delay on that one. See what the official infraction is. Delay a game against Norwayne, so that'll back them up 5. And make it 2nd and 14. Don't miss any of the action with our free app. Download WCLT Radio at the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, and you're streaming the game on Kate 98.7. From the 46 now of Norwayne, it will be 2nd and 15 for the Bobcats. They have two wideouts to the far side on the second down play, and they will look to throw. Pressure right up the middle, and that should be intentional grounding, yeah. And it is. Good pressure by the Dogs there, Garrett.
Yeah, they brought the blitz, and Bobcats were not expecting it that time. Ball did not get back to the line of scrimmage, so this is just as good as a sack right here for the Bulldogs. So third and a mile here for Norwayne, and I mean, at this point, just keep everything in front of you if you're Heath. You can give up 10 yards here and still force them in a four-down situation.
So not the country mile, just a mile? Is that what you're saying here?
Yeah, just a mile.
Just a mile?
I'm more of a mile type of guy.
Sometimes you do leave me speechless. So back-to-back penalties really putting Creston Norwayne behind the eight ball here. All the way back to the 28. They were at the Bulldog 49, needing to get to the 39. Pressure from Gould up the middle. Screen pass is caught by Murlock. He breaks a couple tackles. Looks out. He gets a block. Midfield, 45, and will make it an interesting fourth down call. Basically doing it on his own. Gould was right in there to almost sack him, but then Morlock broke a huge tackle at about the Norwayne 38, and now you're looking at, what, 4th and 4?
It's looking like, yeah, 4th and 4, you're right on it. So, I mean, yeah, it looks like the offense is going to stay out there and go for it, and I don't blame him because, yeah, I mean, he didn't give up the third down conversion, but I mean, you gave him just a huge chunk play on the screen. You sold out on the blitz there, and that's what happens.
4th and 4, low snap. Here's the pass, and the man is open and getting the first down and breaking a couple of tackles, 30, 20, 10, and it will be a touchdown on 4th and 4 as it will work for 43 yards. The pass made to Dylan Smith. And just like that, Norwayne takes a 6-0 lead.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good designed fourth down play right there from the Bobcats. It was designed to pick up about those 4 or 5 yards, which they had, but just a couple poor open field tackles is what led to just that huge explosion after the catch and the 6 points. But just what a shift in this game, because just a few moments ago, it seems like he picked up that huge fourth down conversion, but they weren't able to turn it into points. And instead, you know, and even just a few plays ago, it was, what, third and forever. So a couple big plays from Norway, and they have sucked the life out of the stadium.
7-0, Bobcats lead it. Back after this timeout on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
The experienced heating and cooling professionals that meet any budget is just a phone call away. Your local Lennox dealer, Lucart Heating and Cooling, has been installing Lennox systems in Licking County for over 60 years. Installation professionals, Nate certified technicians, and Lennox innovations make Lucart Heating and Cooling the wise choice. Call 740-344-5497 today. That's 740-344-5497. Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
Everyone's always on a time crunch. Whether you're pushing your team to the end zone to score or pushing to finish the construction job for the customer, so you don't have time to be waiting for materials. Get the lighting and electrical supplies you need when you need them, even in job lot quantities. At Linden Lighting and Supply, 200 West Monroe Street in Zanesville. LindenLighting.com. Get what you need. Get it fast. Get back to work. Good luck to all area teams this year. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Mike's Roofing on Kate 98.7.
Roughing the kicker penalty on Heath, so Norway kicks it off from their 45, and it will go into the end zone for a touchback. So 8 plays, 88 yards, and the capper, 43-yard touchdown pass from Siegenhaller to Dylan Smith, and it's 7-0 Norway.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely not how I expected this game to start out based off that, on how that first Heath possession went. But now, yeah, it seems like the pressure is on the Bulldogs. They have a lot of senior leadership on this team, and this is when they need to step up and say, all right, guys, let's go down. Let's try to tie this game back up here.
They did trail Licking Valley last week 7-0 and then went on to the victory, so they have played from behind already this season. We'll see what they can do right here, but we've already seen 3 fourth down tries, 2 of them successful. Bayless to throw, got some pressure, firing over the middle, and the catch held on to, hit hard, but the catch is made by, I believe it was Drew Gostru who made the catch, and it's a first down.
Yeah, got to credit him for hanging on to that ball. He took a hard hit in midair, but one play good enough for the first down. It's a good sign here for the Bulldogs on this drive.
So could you say right now, I think we're seeing that Norway bigger up front and Heath's trying to use their speed?
That's what it's looking like. You've seen lots of rollouts from Bayless to start this game, not really just dropping back in the pocket and not really any inside handoffs, as I said.
And inside handoff to Corbett, the announcer jinx.
Yeah.
But it's a good positive pickup for the Dogs as he gets across the 35 to the 36.
And that's what they're going to do, even though it wasn't working early in the game. Like I mentioned, it's something you do want to establish. You want to keep the defense guessing. You don't want to be constantly rolling out or doing these outside plays. So good sign from the Bulldogs. They're able to pick up a good gain that time from Corbett on the inside handoff.
Second down and 4, Bayless, fake handoff, he will keep on the right side, and again, coming up and making a nice tackle behind the line of scrimmage, and is Simon Henneko again. So he's come up with 2 big plays. He might want to run to the other side.
Yeah, he has made some really good open field tackles, one-on-one, preventing. I mean, because if whoever the runner, the ball carrier may be for Heath, if they get past him, it's going to be probably a first down, 10-plus yards. So thanks to him, it stays 3rd and 8. It's an obvious passing situation here for the Bulldogs deep in their own zone.
Bayless to throw. He's got some pressure, rolls to his right, looking. Nobody open. Now fires, and it's going to be out of bounds, incomplete. So looks right now like Norway forces a 3-and-out after they took the 7-0 lead.
Yeah, Norway, I mean, yeah, it shows it on the scoreboard as well. They have been winning this first quarter, and that's a great response, too, by that defense, you know, because I'm sure the Bulldogs, the last thing they wanted to do, it wasn't quite a 3-and-out, but they were only able to move the chains one time. But you have to, I think you have to punt it in this situation where you're at on your own field.
Well, Bayless is in the gun, but he will do a quick kick and a good high kick. Nobody back for Norway. We'll see what the bounce is, but it takes a bulldog bounce. You got to get on it. And it will be marked across the 40-yard line. So it bounced at about the 32, 33, and almost a 10-yard backwards bounce for Norway. They're actually going to mark it at the 40, and that's where the clock will stop with officials' timeout. 3:16 remains in this first quarter, and it is 7-0. Creston Norway leads it. High school football game of the week. Thanks to Houston Plumbing and Heating for their continued sponsorship here on Kate 98.7. So, need the Bulldog defense to rise to the occasion here right now after giving up that 7 points on a fourth down.
Yeah, I mean, so far the Bulldogs defense has been looking a little bit like the Buckeyes defense from last year. They've been doing really good for the most part. Just the big plays is what killed them. The last two plays on that drive from Norway basically made up the entire yardage for the entire drive. So just try to limit those big plays, you know, just try to do some better job tackling in the open field, because that's really what led to those plays that maybe only would have went for 5 or 6 yards, extend, you know, 20, 25, 30 yards.
Yep, they definitely had the opportunity to give the offense a good opportunity, but third and long to pick up, and then the fourth and four, 43-yard touchdown bomb, and Norway with the ball for the second time in this game, up 7-0. Higginholler, and here's an inside handoff, and getting about 3 yards on that pickup is Mason Moyer.
Yeah, Mason, more of what we've seen from that previous drive. The Bobcats like to hand it off on first down, get in front of the six, which has been, for the most part, pretty successful.
They'll give him 4 on that pickup, so it'll be second down and 6 from the Bobcat 44. And here's a handoff, and again, picking up more yardage and getting into Heath's territory is Morlock. So he's pretty much doing what he needs to do as advertised, and he's big, but he's got nimble feet, it looks like.
Yeah, moves quicker than what you would think for a guy of that size, and he's been showing it off not only on the ground, but I believe he caught that screen pass on that big third down pickup on the previous possession. So look out for him, kind of using him in the passing game as well.
Gets 10 yards there to the Heath 46. It's first and 10. Fake handoff, Siegenhaller with some pressure, and the pass knocked down. Nice job that time by the Heath defense.
Yeah, possibly saved a first down pickup that time to bag that pass down, and that's a play action. We've seen play action run a lot early in this game so far from the Bobcats. That seems to be their game plan. Hand it off on first down, first or second down, and then try to catch the Bulldogs sleeping with the play action. And the Bulldogs have been fooled so far in this game up until that point.
Noah Sprague with the knockdown of that pass, second and 10. And Siegenhaller will look to throw it yet. He's got man right in his face. Ball up for grabs, and it will fall harmlessly out of bounds. But McIntyre was in on that play. So now Heath is using their speed to get to him, and it's here's your opportunity, third and 10.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the opportunity's there. Last third down, it was third and forever. They didn't pick it up, but it did set up a fourth down and manageable, and that's what's important here. I mean, I think as long as the Bobcats pick up plus yardage, since they are in Heath territory, it probably will be a fourth down, but it's important here for the Bulldogs not to make it maybe fourth and 2, fourth and 1.
Two wideouts split to both sides on this third and 10. Siegenhaller looking, firing, and he's got a man open, but the pass is too high. So after a very good beginning of this drive with back-to-back running plays, 3 straight pass attempts.
All right, interesting decision right there. You know, looking for the deep shot, going away from your game plan a little bit that time, it seemed like, for the Bobcats. And looks like they will be sending the punting unit out there since, yeah, it is a fourth and 10, and maybe just try to swap the field position since your defense has been doing a pretty good job of containing the Bulldogs so far.
But it is Dylan Morlock who is back to punt, the outstanding running back, so you've got to be wary, and the Bulldogs have several up there to play anything that could happen. Morlock gets it away, and it's almost like a kickoff end over end, and it takes a strange bounce, and oh my goodness, the ball was tipped, which does make it dead by the Norway player, but then Josh Jones went up to get it, and he did snag it, but they should go ahead and say it was when it was touched by the Bobcat there at the 32, and they do. So 1:53 remains in this first quarter, and it's still Norway 7 and Heath 0.
Yeah, for two teams that are used to scoring a lot in the first 2 weeks, we talked about Heath 47 points per game, Norway averaging 44.5 points per game in their first two games. We could be in a bit of a more low-scoring affair is what it's looking like so far, at least here in the first quarter.
So the Bulldogs trying to get on the board with their third possession of this first quarter. Bayless to throw. And a long pass across the field, and the catch made by McIntyre. And a good pickup, close to 9 yards.
Yeah, very similar to what we saw on the Bulldogs' last drive. They come out on that first play of their drive with a really good gain, but after that just kind of stalled out. Not quite enough for the first down, though. So second and short. This is a really good opportunity, I think, for Heath to try to take a shot downfield.
Well, they do have Trips coming out here to the near side. Corbett is with Bayless in the backfield, and Corbett would get it, and good burst up the middle across the 40 to the 42, and that will be enough for a Heath first down.
And that's a welcome sight, is seeing Corbett get some positive yards. And you just kind of keep reinforcing that play as this game goes on. You're hoping, you know, come the second half or even, you know, even the second quarter that he breaks off a big one.
1 minute to play in this opening quarter. Bulldogs at their 42-yard line, trailing 7-0. And a bad snap, and it's going to be recovered by Norway at the Heath 35. Now, there is a flag on the play, so hold everything. We'll see who it's against. Bayless just could not handle that snap. And we'll see who the penalty is on, but it looks like it is on Heath. So it's going to be a turnover, and Norway's going to be in great field position.
Basically setting up shop where they punted the ball away at last time out. And, yeah, it's just another critical error for the Bulldogs so far in this one. Yeah, just didn't look like the snap was too bad, but Bayless just wasn't able to get a good handle on it and just wasn't able to find it once it fell on the turf. And Norway players, right place, right time.
See what they do here on 1st and 10 after the fumble recovery. Morlock will get it. Breaks one man in the backfield, breaks two, breaks three, breaks four, and is finally tackled by number 5, McIntyre. There are 2 flags in the backfield, so quite a few penalties in this first quarter. Guessing this is either a block in the back or a hold or something against Norway.
Yeah, let's see, holding.
Yep.
Holding against the Bobcats, so they'll set them up way behind the sticks here. Like would be 1st and 19, 1st and 20, somewhere in that range. So I did like, you know, they went back to their running game there on first down, but, you know, when you pick up a hold, then it kind of defeats the whole purpose.
So back to the 46-yard line. It'll make it 1st and 20. Clock will start back up at 40 seconds. Here's Morlock. Big hole, 40. Breaks it to the outside, 35, 30, and will get very close to picking up 20 yards. He is going to be a handful tonight.
Yeah, and once again, just good job by the offensive line. Seems like, you know, whenever the Bobcats may be in a big hole or seems like the drive may be dead, they come up with these big plays, whether it just be, you know, simple screens or just handoffs up the gut. And the Bulldogs need to try to figure out a way just to limit these, you know, plays that go for 15, 20-plus yards.
He just had 40 yards rushing last week. He's over that.
He's already, yeah.
Way over that. So he does get exactly 20. So first and 20, now to a first and 10 at the Heath 26-yard line. And here's an inside handoff and some more running room. 20, 15, and inside the 10-yard line. That's Mason Moyer, so it's been a 1-2 punch here. They'll have it first and goal, and they're knocking on the door to go up by double digits.
Yeah, and, you know, like we mentioned, Heath, probably the faster team, but what we've seen, the Bobcats, they're bigger, and they've been using that size up front, and that's why their running game, I feel like, has been slowly getting better as this game has gone along.
17 yards there. That'll end this first quarter, 7-0. Norway leads Heath, back for quarter number two, after this timeout on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
McGuire's Distinctive Trucks has been your trusted truck accessories supplier for years, and now they've got Patriot Spray and Liner, the newest technology for your truck bed. Get wear, tear, and corrosion protection with the best spray in bed liners, backed by Patriot's nationwide warranty. McGuire's Distinctive Trucks installers will ensure a uniform application that will protect your truck from everything you throw at it. Plus, it looks great, and it can be installed quickly. Patriot Liners and McGuire's Distinctive Trucks in Carroll, your truck partner.
You want top joint replacement surgery. Knox Community Hospital delivers with three fellowship-trained surgeons. Joint classes to fully prepare you for surgery. Clinical advancements like robot-assisted knee replacement. Pain protocols that have most patients home the next day. And coveted national rankings for 4 years running. All to help you beat the pain and heal faster. Go to kch.org to learn more.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating on Case 98.7.
We are back at Swank Field, getting ready to start the second quarter. Preston Norwayne leading Heath by a score of 7-0, and now they have a first and goal at the Bulldog 9-yard line. And here's the handoff to Moyer, breaks three tackles and takes it all the way down to inside the 1 yard line. You're right, they are imposing their will right now.
Mm-hmm. And it may work for the Bulldogs on offense. You're kind of able to work around that better than you are on offense than you are on defense. And we're kind of seeing it exposed right now on this Bulldogs defense. They just have no response for the rushing attack so far on this drive.
Second and goal from the 1. Full house backfield behind Siegenthaler on this first, second and goal. And it's a pitch, and getting into the end zone basically untouched is Lucas Duty. And it's now 13-0 with 11:17 to go. And that was an easy four-play drive after the fumble.
Yeah, and the setup, yeah, off that fumble on Bayless, short field. And Norwayne so far has really capitalized off of these Heath turnovers. I mean, yeah, turnover on downs is what set up their last touchdown, just a fumble this time. So, but the Bulldogs need to figure out a way to move the ball on offense. That's what's really more concerning to me, is they need to figure out how to put this ball into the end zone on this drive. We've seen flashes, but they have not been able to put together a complete drive.
Parker Metzger's point after is good, so it's 14-0. Norwayne leads it with 11:17 to go in this second quarter. Get all the scores and be a part of the show as well. The T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show. Join Mark Bruce and Lee Waller, 9 to 11 tonight on T100. And some interesting scores to start out. Licking Valley leading West Holmes 7-6. Newark Catholic trails Academy 14-0. And Newark on the road at Marion Harding. The Presidents have a 12-0 lead. So adversity hitting quite a few teams here in this third week of the season. And we're seeing it right here with the homestanding Bulldogs, their biggest deficit of the season. And things that have been going so well in the first couple weeks, penalties tonight, a turnover, and allowing a team to go drive down the field on you. We'll see how they respond now, down by 2 scores. Metzger ready to kick it away, and he will send it down to McIntyre at the 15. Gets a good running start all the way up to the 30, and almost got away from one tackle, but he is stopped at about the 33-yard line.
I think this is Knox. I mean, he seems, I think, to just figure out a way to put together a complete drive, what I was saying just a few moments ago. They have the athletes, they have the players, they have the talent. It's just, can they figure out a way to just string together enough plays here to put together a complete drive? Because we've seen flashes of it. You know, they've had a couple big plays in that first quarter, but no points to show for it.
Officially at the 34, first and 10, Heath. Bayless to throw. Fires and intercepted. And it's going to be a house call, I believe, for Norwayne. It is. Dylan Smith, his second score of the night. 43 yards as a touchdown pass. And that play, an interception to the house for six more. And just like that, it is 20-0.
I mean, that is, I'm left speechless right now because it just seems like each drive offensively for the Bulldogs, they figure out a way to get a worse result each and every single time. Just the last thing you needed right there on that first down. And now, I mean, you still got it basically the entire second quarter, but you're looking to be down at a 21-point deficit. Don't necessarily need to hit the panic button quite yet, but if you aren't able to put some points up on the board and your defense isn't able to stop that Norwayne offense in the next few minutes, maybe time to be that panic button.
Extra point is good. So I want to say that was about the 38-yard line where the pass was intercepted, and we've seen it already tonight, a lot of long throws across the field, and that one just kind of hung up there, and give Smith a lot of credit. He read it perfectly, tipped it to himself, and then took it into the end zone and 3-score lead.
Yeah, I mean, because as a defensive back, those are the plays when you sell out on, you're either going to get a pick six like we just saw, or you're going to get burnt, and that receiver is going to be taking it for a big play. So, yeah, he read it perfectly, and it resulted in six more points for the Bobcats.
And that's back-to-back turnovers on back-to-back plays.
Right.
For Heath.
It's just, yeah, uncharacteristic, too. I mean, it seemed like, especially for just what we've seen in the past couple years, this Heath offense, just, we aren't used to seeing them turn the ball over.
Line drive that is recovered at the 33-yard line by Heath. So, but Norwayne, this is a very good program. 12 winning seasons in the last 13 years. The last couple of years, going 8-4, 1-1 in the postseason. The pandemic year, they actually went 9-1. So they are used to winning, and they're coming down here about a 2.5-hour trip, and doesn't seem to be bothering them one bit.
Right. I mean, you don't want to travel 2.5 hours for nothing. So they came here expecting a win. They came out looking like the more prepared and confident team, and it's being reflected on the scoreboard.
And it's just not clicking right now for Heath. They didn't have enough linemen, so they are going to have to call their first time out here of this second quarter. So 11:01 to go. And it really, you kind of thought things were going after the huge fourth down pickup all the way, 32-yard pass play to Connor Toomey. Had the ball at the 22-yard line, got down to the 15, and then stopped a couple yards short on fourth down. And then as Norwayne took the ball down the field, they had a third, not a country mile, just a mile, but able to make it a fourth and four, and then they convert on a touchdown pass. And really, Heath has just not been able to regroup since those few plays.
Yeah, you basically said it perfectly. Ever since, I feel like, that big third down and then that fourth down conversion that resulted in the first touchdown of the game for the Bobcats, it seems like they just continue to build off that momentum while the Bulldogs are just continue to sink deeper and deeper into this deficit.
Well, this is a must-scoring drive. There's no way around it. So it's first and 10 at the 34. Bayless looking to throw. He's got pressure, a lot of pressure. He scrambles, avoids a couple of folks, and really, it's a miracle he was able to get back to the line of scrimmage. Let's see where they officially mark him out of bounds. They are going to say he lost 3 yards, so it'll be a second down and 13, but nobody open down the field. He's going across his body. Just not a lot of things going well right now for Heath.
Yeah, there's the protection, too, from the offensive line. Doesn't have that minute, that long. Just about 2-3 seconds, the pressure starts to get through. So yeah, they need to figure out something here on offense just to pick up maybe some little chunk plays.
Second down and 13. Bayless will keep it. Looking up the middle. Breaks a couple of tackles, and then we'll get across the 40 to the 41-yard line. So it'll be a third down and probably a long three, short four. And I think it's two down territory, even though you're in your own territory.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, like, less a huge penalty or sack in a situation like this, but it's getting this first down is what you need to focus on first. Not scoring a touchdown or anything on this drive, just picking up this first down right here for Heath, extending this drive.
Three wideouts on this third down. Bayless, he will keep it, looking to get to the outside. And he's only going to get about a yard. Norwayne doing a good job tackling on the outside here.
Yeah, they've done a great job tackling, like, in the open field. And that's, it's been a tale of two sides, really, because the Bulldogs haven't been so great on tackling on the defense side of things. Lots of missed tackles, lots of broken tackles by that Bobcats offense. And for Heath, you know, once they get in the open field, lots of one-on-one tackles, not able to break any tackles, not able to extend many plays.
Fourth and a long one. Can they convert here from their 43-yard line? Bayless under center. Handoff, and it'll depend on the spot. I thought Corbett had it. He was spun around, but they are going to say first down, not by much.
Inches right there.
Yep.
He may have been bring out a slip of paper to measure that one. So, but big fourth down conversion for the Bulldogs. For the Bulldogs there. They're able to extend the drive. Let's see if they can start to build a little momentum here. Like you said, I mean, you need to figure out a way, though, ultimately, to turn this offensive drive into a touchdown.
From the 44. Bayless, fake handoff. Again, a lot of pressure. Running for his life, throws, and a great catch. I mean, outstanding catch by Tyler Marks. That was pretty good coverage, and Marks just used his fingertips to get it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big play right there, too. So it sets up second down and short now, just staying in front of the chain. That's what they just need to continue to do. But, yeah, like you said, Bayless under pressure once again. That offensive line needs to try to find a way to just buy him a little bit more time, try to get a little bit of a push, or maybe, I mean, yeah, you're just going to have to be having Bayless roll out all night long.
Nothing easy right now.
Mm-mm.
Here's Corbett. He slips down, and the Norwayne front wall was right there ready for him. I think he lost a yard there, and it'll be a third down and probably third down and four from midfield.
Yeah.
They're going to call it in between midfield and the Norwayne 49.
Four down territory once again. I think you said it perfectly. It's just nothing easy for this Bulldogs offense. All these yards, each and every completion or run, it's been gritty, it's been hard. They've had to earn it against this Bobcat defense.
So third and four from the Bobcat 49-yard line, Bayless. And it's just not working. He got pushed by Corbett from behind, which messed up the whole rhythm of the play. You'd almost have to give him an assisted tackle on that play. So I don't know if it was maybe looking to be an option play, but the scheming is just not there. Official stop play with 8 minutes and a second to go here. It's going to be fourth and eight. So you went from a fourth and four, you lose 4 yards. And I'll be interested to see what Coach Ward decides to do here. Fourth and eight is a long way to go from your 46. Already down by 21.
Yeah, I mean, looks like they're going to go for it. You probably do just have to go for it, but it's hard to make a call here, too, because just the way your offense has been looking, just not in sync and just not able to pick up anything easy.
Fourth and eight. Bayless, a little bit longer count this time, and he's rolling right, looking, firing. He's got a man, and is a catch made? It is at the 40-yard line. Connor Toomey with his second great catch of the evening. Toe-tipping along the sidelines. Gets a huge first down for Heath.
And that's his second catch on fourth down already tonight, Toomey. So, I mean, that was just a desperate play, desperate catch, and the Bulldogs needed it desperately. So, yeah, they've already went for it five times on fourth down. They picked up three of them, and Let's see if they can just keep building on this drive.
Bayless to throw, and a catch made, and a pretty good pickup to about the Bobcat 32-yard line. Believe that was Colton Moore making that catch. Second down and three, 7 yards there, and have we gone away from the running game? Looks like it's pretty much all throws at this point.
Yeah, at this point, that's really been the only thing you've been able to get consistent success with, I think, just because you're just losing the battle in the trenches, so it's hard to get anything going. I mean, you can maybe try to run some screens or maybe just some short passing plays.
Bayless to throw again. Deep drop. Now he's got a scramble, and he will go down back at the 40-yard line. The big boys of Norwayne are getting in there and causing a lot of havoc.
Yeah, it's they've been having lots and lots of pressure applied to Bayless. This time he was just swarmed from all sides, wasn't able to roll out, and you know, sacked, third and long. I think, you know, you just got to maybe go back to those little out routes, those little crow routes, what you did on the just a few plays ago on first down. Just try to pick up 5-6 yards at a time.
Third and 10 after the loss. Here they come over the middle. Catch made and getting the first down. That's Josh Jones. His first catch of the night. Goes across the middle, hangs on after getting drilled, and that's a first down. And Bayless, a lot of credit for staying in the pocket there.
Yeah, one of the better looking plays we've seen from the Bulldog offense tonight. Yeah, credit to Bayless hanging in there. He threw a nice bullet pass to Jacobs, and it was good enough to move the chains here. And that's just, I think, those types of plays is what Heath needs to try to do consistently here, because you just don't have the time to roll out.
Throwing, pressure, and it's a screen pass. Ja'Kai Royster knocked out of bounds. They're actually going to say, nope, his forward progress was stopped before he goes out of bounds. The clock will continue to roll. He will be at the 31-yard line, a 2-yard loss.
And It would be nice, I think, if Heath can eliminate these negative plays. Because necessarily it's not even just sacks and stuff, but just whether it be a handoff or just like a screenplay, a designed screenplay like that. You're trying to pick up 2-3 yards in those plays, not lose 2-3 yards.
From the Bobcat 31, it's second and 12. Here's Bayless running, looking to throw, and it's intercepted. Did he stay in bounds? He did. And the pass is picked off at the 22. I think that was Mason Saul who intercepted it. Oh, no, they're going to say Dylan Smith again. So pick number 2 for Smith, and that stops the drive, the best one of the night for Heath. And it's another turnover. Third turnover of this first half for Heath.
Yeah, I mean, just when you thought things may have been starting to go in the right direction for this Bulldog offense, it's really good interception that time.
When he's running for his life, yeah, again, that just makes all the difference in the world. Couldn't put a lot on that pass, and Dylan Smith is reading everything right now. Boy, is he having a night.
Yeah, and like you said, when you're rolling out constantly and stuff too, that just, it limits Bayless too, because, you know, he's more of a dual threat type of guy, so he's not feeling like he has that option or he can be as effective as, you know, running, tucking it and running, and then that adds fatigue, you know, when you're constantly running, you know, on opposite ends of the field, so he's not able to maybe put as much zip on the ball or be as accurate as he would like to. That's, I feel like, that's what resulted in that last interception.
2-yard pickup on first down for Norway, and second and 8 from their 24 as we come up on 4 minutes and 35 seconds. And this time Morlock is hit behind the line of scrimmage, right back to the original line, and brings up a third down. So if you can force a punt here, you've got another opportunity to score before halftime. So Bulldog defense has to rise to the occasion now.
Absolutely. They did a good job on these first two plays so far. Third down and 9. You still have 2 timeouts, over 4 minutes to go. So the Bobcats will get the ball to start off the second half. So that's what makes it that much more important, not only just to get off the field now, but to try to put some points on the board.
Trips to the near side on this 3rd and 10 from the 22. And we're going to have it make it 3rd and 15, a motion against Norway. So, Coach, you are an aggressive defense, and they've been aggressive all night. on a 3rd and 15, do you just try to keep everything in front of you here and not allow a missed tackle, which could pick up a first down?
I would play it more on the safer side, just because I feel like you've gotten burnt with the aggressiveness tonight. And in situations like this that we saw earlier in that first quarter, 3rd and long, they may not take a deep shot. They may just do a screen. So if you bring pressure, that's exactly what Norway wants in a situation like this.
So they're back to the 17 on this 3rd and 15. Siegenhaller in the gun. Will look to throw. It's a quick pass. And making the catch and a couple of blocks and getting the first down and more. Up to the 40, 45 midfield, 40 on the dash. He goes 30, 20, 10. Touchdown, Norway on 3rd and 15. Lucas Duty just might have ended this ball game with that play. 83 yards. And we talked about it. Missed tackle.
Yeah.
Missed tackle.
And it was just a wide receiver screen. That's all it was. And missed tackles out there from Heath is what's killing him on defense. We've seen it on all the big plays tonight. That play really should have only been good for 5-6 yards, but able to, you know, make some guys miss, and just not the best tackling on the Heath side. And like you said, I mean, now down 28 or 27 to nothing pending this PAT with Norway getting the ball to start off the second half. I mean, this is not looking too promising for the Bulldogs.
So you have a 43-yard touchdown pass on a fourth down. You have an 83-yard touchdown pass on a 3rd and 15. And you have a pick six. That's 21 of their 27 right now.
They're just, I mean, they're taking literally what the Bulldogs are giving to them. They're capitalizing on all of their mistakes.
And I would have thought the Bulldogs would have had more big plays.
Yeah.
You know, Norway maybe just trying to take the ball all the way down the field, but it's not been the case. Metzger's extra point is up, and it is good. So, you know, the frustration is mounting heavily on the Bulldogs sideline right now. And this senior class is going to have to really regroup for the final 3:27 of this second quarter. And then at halftime, there is a lot to be played, but it's just Norway is making play after play on both sides of the ball, because we are now at, what, 3 turnovers?
3.
For Heath? And they've capitalized on all of them.
Yeah, they've turned all of them into points. So, like you said, like we were saying, it's just, it's really more so, I feel like, the Bulldogs just really beating on themselves in this game. Obviously, I give credit to Norway. They came out, you know, like they were expecting to win this game. They've been playing a great ball game here tonight, but
I'm stunned.
I am too. I am stunned. Especially, yeah, too, how that first quarter went. This second quarter has just gone completely out of control. I mean, they still have a chance to, as that kickoff goes out of bounds, I catch a little break there, but there's a slim chance. I'm going to keep slim in town here for the Bulldogs here, you know, just because of, we know what this offense can do. We know how fast that they can put points up on the board, but it has to start now. Like, you cannot go down 28 to nothing in the locker room and giving the Bobcats another possession. So, I think your only chance here, I think, for Heath is, you know, I hope your offense catches fire, and hopefully maybe your defense can force some turnovers for themselves, or at least try to limit. You just got to try to limit the big, like the big plays, the 20, 25 plus yard plays tonight is what's killed them.
And that's what's just so demoralizing, is you've had them behind the sticks, and they've capitalized on just missed opportunities defensively. So first and 10, Heath at the 35. Bayless to throw. Catch made, and getting out of bounds close to the 40-yard line is Tyler March, his second catch of the evening. And do we worry about the psyche right now of Bayless? Obviously, he has not had a great night with a couple of picks and the fumble. He's had to scramble a lot of times again against his body. We know he's got the tools to turn this around, but he's really got to be frustrated at just how this game's going right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I think just try to get his confidence back here on this drive at least. Just pick up a couple easy completions.
He will keep it, again, to so many players in the backfield. He eludes one guy, but another guy right to get him at the 37-yard line, and it's going to lose about four more yards, and you're back to third and nine at their 36-yard line with 3 minutes to go, down 28-0.
Yeah, it's hard to be successful to an offense when you're just so one-dimensional. I mean, they really have had basically...
Connor Corbett's been out of this game.
Yeah, Corbett, yeah, he left about midway through, I think, the second quarter. And, yeah, I'm not sure if he's... That would be huge, obviously, if he's not able to return.
Bayless to keep it on third and nine and tries to make something out of nothing and is able to get across the 40-yard line to the 41. So here you go again, fourth and a long four, 2:20 on a moving clock. You're down by four scores. You have to pick it up if you decide to go for it, because Norwayne has all three of their timeouts, and they'd have the ball in Heath territory. So we'll see what they do. Bayless in the gun. Again, he is the punter, so he can do either option here on this fourth down. He waits for the snap. He gets it, and this time he will kick it. High, short kick, but nobody back for Norwayne. And this time it does take a Bulldog bounce inside the 15, inside the 10, and will be down there at the 9-yard line. Let's pause for station identification. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254CT Newark, K98.7.
Will they be 0-3?
Wow. 1:47 to go in the second quarter here at Swank Field. A stunned home crowd, stunned announcers, and a stunned Heath football program, trailing Preston and Norwayne 28-0. Bobcats have the ball at their 9-yard line. Again, all three timeouts. Do they try to put the hammer away here, up by four scores, but needing to go 91 yards? We'll see on this first down. Here's the handoff, and it's Moyer up to the 15-yard line. Looks like they're not using one of their timeouts here, so second down and four from the 15.
Yeah, I mean, when you're up 28-0, you get the ball to start the third quarter. I'd be pretty satisfied with that lead heading into the locker room. You don't want to make a mistake here, you know, turn the ball over and get Heath right back into this ball game. But it also would be nice, too, if they were able to maybe pick up a big play right here on second down. I mean, you could put this game away with one more touchdown.
Here's Morlock. He will get to the 17, and we're at 1 minute. Bulldogs have two timeouts left. Looks like they're not going to use them, at least at the moment. And they actually gave him pretty good forward progress all the way up to the 18. So it's a third and one with 42 seconds to go in this second quarter.
Yeah, Norwayne looks to be in no rush here. They're just trying to run this clock in and head to the locker room. And like I said, no complaint for me there. I mean, up 28 to zip.
Hand off and breaking a tackle in the backfield is Morlock, and he is able to get a first down across the 20-yard line, and that might be the final play of this first half. Clock will start back up, and we are under 17 seconds to go, and head coach Adam Endorf is saying, come on, boys, let's head to the locker room. We've done what we've needed to do in this first half on the road, and the Bulldogs will have to regroup here at halftime and see what they can do to get back in this ballgame, because we have come to halftime at Swank Field, all Creston Norwayne at the moment. They lead Heath 28-0. We'll come back and recap this first half after a timeout as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Hi, this is Charlie Burwell from Church Street Floor Covering, and we're happy to welcome back all the high school football players to the field. At Church Street Floor Covering, we support all local athletes and wish them the best of luck this season. If you're looking for flooring that can stand up to whatever your home team throws at it, come see us at Church Street Floor Covering. We've been scoring big points with our customers for over 30 years. Church Street Floor Coverings, across from the Buckeye Valley YMCA. And don't forget to tell them Charlie sent you.
Stop into the toy store and upgrade your ride with epic savings on Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides. This is Jeff Ward, and now through September 30th, you can save on select Polaris Razor, Ranger, Sportsman, and General models, with financing options as low as 1.49% APR for qualified buyers. There's no better time to take home a Polaris off-road vehicle. Explore the impressive Polaris lineup during our Upgrade Your Ride sales event at the toy store, Polaris. Think outside.
Terms and conditions apply. Not all will qualify for financing rates. See dealer for details. Driver must be at least 16 years old with a valid driver's license to operate.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
No matter the season, there's always work to do. Husqvarna is always there to make the toughest jobs easier. Husqvarna has been the choice of professionals and homeowners alike for more than 332 years. Wright Brothers Power carries a full range of parts and accessories that add versatility, increase performance, and provide protection for your Husqvarna. For the full lineup of Husqvarna products and accessories, visit Wright Brothers Power at 625 West Church Street.
The Energy Cooperative Operation Roundup Foundation has granted over $3.8 million into our community since 2006. Participating members round up their utility bills to the next dollar, creating funds for school books, playground equipment, community parks, animal rescue, scholarships, and more. The Operation Roundup Foundation Board of Directors say thank you for helping to improve our community. For more information on Operation Roundup grant applications, go to myenergycoop.com/roundup.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Lashley Tractor Sales on Kate 98.7.
Back at halftime at Swank Field here at Heath High School, Creston Norwayne on the road leading the home Bulldogs by a score of 28-0. Heath got the ball to start this ball game and faced a 4th and 8 from their own territory, but a 32-yard pass on the run from Braden Bayless to Comertune set him in shop at the 22 of Norwayne. They got down to the 15, faced another 4th down, and were only able to pick up a couple of yards. Turnover on downs for the Bobcats at their 12. They took it into Heath territory, but then had back-to-back penalties, including an intentional grounding all the way back to their 28, but a screen pass set up a 4th and 4 from the Heath 43, and then on the next play, Dylan Smith, a 43-yard touchdown pass. That made it 7-0. Heath then got a 1st down, but then also went 3 and out, and Norwayne also was able to punt, but then a fumble by Heath set up a 4-yard touchdown run. Extra point was good. It was 14-0, and that's when the wheels started to come off. Then a pick six by Braden Bayless. He threw it to Dylan Smith, who got his 2nd touchdown of the evening, this time from 38 yards out on the pick six. Point after was good. It was 21-0. Heath then was able to start moving the ball in the second quarter, but Bayless had to roll out and fire a pass, intercepted by, yep, Dylan Smith at the 22-yard line. So Norwayne gets the ball back, facing a 3rd and 15 from their 17-yard line. A little screen pass to Lucas Duty, who takes it 83 yards for the score. And that's where we're at, 28-0. So just big, explosive plays on both sides of the ball for the Norwayne Bobcats.
Yeah, and forcing turnovers and capitalizing off of those turnovers as well. 3 turnovers for Heath, all turned into points for Norwayne. And just ever, besides that first drive for Heath on offense, just no consistency of gaining any yards whatsoever, whether it be through the air or through the ground. They just haven't been able to find the rhythm, and they just look out of sync. I mean, we saw just players running into each other, and then the lost snap. It just doesn't look like it's running like a well-oiled machine like it was in weeks 1 and 2 for the Bulldogs here on offense. And Norwayne's came in, and they are looking like a well-oiled machine, that's like they were advertised. and they have been forcing some big turnovers. I mean, last week they forced 6 turnovers in their win against Canton Central Crossing. So I don't think anybody thought they were going to replicate those numbers here tonight, but so far they're on pace to do so here against the Bulldogs. But I think everyone here is stunned. I'm sure Heath is stunned here as well. But in the second half, if you want any chance to hope to come back in this game, you need to figure out a way, I think, a better way to protect your quarterback, Bayless, because he has just been running for his life the entire game, rolling out, trying to get, positive yardage with his feet, trying to get stuff, open through the air. But when you're constantly running, you're going to get fatigued, and I think that's what led to his second interception, was just him rolling out constantly and just being fatigued and not being able to, put the proper accuracy or in zip on that ball. But just and then trying to establish the running game too. Their running game was non-existent for that second half of the second quarter. Just no running game whatsoever from the Bulldogs. And Corbett did go out about midway through that second quarter as well. So it'll be interesting to see, if he's able to return or not in this game. That will obviously help your running game if he is able to return or not. But you ought to also give credit here to the Bobcats. They came in and they've been dominating the lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and that's really, it's simply put, but that's how you win football games, is in the trenches. And so far, we know Heath has the speed and the athletes, but they have not been able to win them this game. Those athletes and stuff, they don't play in the trenches. So just the Bobcats have been dominating, and like you said, big plays. That is what they've been able to capitalize on in situations where you think, it's third and a mile, third and 15. Surely this is where the Bulldogs can make a stand, get a stop here, and try to get the ball back on offense. But those are the opportunities that the Bobcats take to unleash their biggest plays of the night so far. So limiting big plays, trying to get better protection for Bayless. Those are the keys, I think, for the Bulldogs here in the second half.
Norway leads Heath 28-0. Our halftime continues now with Skip Mozix tonight in high school football from the Ohio News Network.
From the Ohio News Network, this is the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football. Named best sports program in the country by the National Association of State Radio Networks. Tonight in High School Football is presented by Vex Hybrids. Now here's your host, Skip Mossig.
And hi again, everyone. Welcome to Tonight in High School Football's Halftime Report. Annual athletic district meetings have been occurring as the new school year has gotten underway. We'll discuss the importance of those with Tim Streed of the OHSAA next on the Ohio News Network.
Every farmer has their reason for why they do what they do. For Beck's, it's faith, family, and farming. Since 1937, the Beck family and family of employees have been committed to honoring God and helping farmers succeed. Farming is full of extremes, and we face the challenges with hard work and steadfast determination, delivering quality line of products backed by legendary customer service. We look forward to standing by your side, supporting you as you live out the life you were meant to live. Beck's. When it comes to farming, we believe in something more.
I'm Ohio Education Association President Scott DeMauro, and on behalf of the OEA's 120,000 members, we're proud to bring you tonight's game. Our members are the public school educators who coach your kids on and off the field, because we believe in the potential of every student and their right to a high-quality public education, no exceptions. That's why we will continue to speak in one voice to demand the supports and resources our public schools need, because public education matters.
Your college experience should be built just for you, supporting everything you value most. That's why Ohio University delivers the high-quality education we're known for right here on our Lancaster campus. Whether you're a full-time student or working full-time, Ohio's affordable, flexible degrees are always in demand in our community and can take you anywhere. Earn a degree in your own backyard on your own terms and move your career and your community forever forward. Learn more at ohio.edu/Lancaster.
At Licking Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community.
Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Licking County residents. Our healthcare technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center on K98.7.
Is your job going places? Mine is, and I'm taking people with me. Hi, I'm Kim, a bus operator for Licking County Transit. We make a difference in people's lives, transporting them in and around Licking and surrounding counties. We have flexible schedules, competitive wages, and great health benefits. Join our team at Licking County Transit. No CDL required. Call 740-670-5150. 740-670-5150. Equal opportunity employer.
Built upon a solid foundation of cast iron and steel, the Kubota LL1 series is part of our tractor lineup, rated number one in durability and owner experience. They feature powerful Kubota diesel engines and easy operation. The durable Kubota LL1 series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville or online at LashleyTractor.com.
Listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Mike's Roofing on K98.7.
This is Tonight in High School Football on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Skip Mossick.
We are presented by Bex Hybrids. At Bex, they are and will remain farmers at heart. And welcome back, everyone. Halftime of your game this evening. We're joined for a few minutes by Tim Streed, Director of Information Services with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And, you know, Tim, as we hit week three of the high school football season, if there were any issues the first two weekends, it was pretty quiet. Has the season started as smoothly as everybody would have liked?
Well, it has, Skip. You know, you're right that usually here in August we're dealing with either some weather issues or some kind of scheduling issue, but this year, you're right, it's been pretty smooth. Been some great weather and seen a lot of great games, so really happy with how the season got kicked off.
Tim, health and safety is always going to be a primary concern. Unfortunately, we're seeing an uptick in COVID cases all across the state. I mean, some health officials kind of predicted this. Remind us all again what the protocol is in regards to this if it becomes an issue again.
Sure. Well, I've seen that too. My wife's a high school math teacher, and she's seen an uptick in number of cases of her school too. And I think we're going to live with this as a reality, just like the flu, just like a lot of common illnesses that come through our schools and through our communities of people. We still have all of our COVID regulations in place if needed. You know, there is a protocol for if a student tests positive that they're removed from competition and from the school. There, if that increases to a certain amount, it could be a team removal, but that is so different than when COVID first started. You know, when COVID first started, one student tested positive, the whole team is coming out right now. That was such a tough issue to go through in the 2021 school year. So now we don't have to do that. It is more on a case-by-case basis, a student-by-student basis. And of course we know so much more now. We have so much more information. Of course we have the vaccine as well. So a lot different situation now than what we saw then. So I think it would be pretty rare for a team to get removed.
Tim, this is the time of year you typically have your district meetings. I saw you were in the Southeast District earlier this week. What's typically on the agenda in these meetings?
Well, you're right. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's a big part of our fall. And we do it again in April when we have our referendum update meetings. But here in the fall, we get a meeting set up in each of our six districts. We bring in the athletic administrators and a lot of the other administrators, such as principals, that attend those meetings. We go over a lot of our reminders and deadlines for the upcoming year. We go through our legal update. Here are the cases pending. We also have a section on our financial status, too, where we talk about here's where we sit. Here are the dollars that have come back to schools in the past year. Here's what's coming back moving forward, which I need to announce that as well, so our public is aware of that as well. So a lot of it is updates, and also here's what passed from last year's bylaw voting session, and here's how that affects you moving forward. So it's about a couple hours, but it's great to be boots on the ground in each district. We're in Cambridge last week, Athens this week, and we're in Central District and also Northeast District next week, and then we hit the Northwest and the Southwest districts after that. So kind of the road show goes out, and we get a chance to shake hands and see our administrators in each district.
Tim, you mentioned deadlines. Let me leave you with a non-football question. We're a month now into the high school golf season across the state. New Albany sophomore Mia Hammond made the cut this summer at the LPGA event in Toledo, which was awesome to see. She's also now been given a sponsor exemption into next weekend's LPGA event in Cincinnati. How does that work in regards to if she has to choose between that and being able to play on her high school team the rest of the way? I know there's a cutoff date deadline somewhere.
You're right. There is a cutoff date, and luckily that's not till September 25th. And so we're excited that Mia gets to pursue some of those bigger events. But I tell you, a lot of people may be circling our girls' golf state tournament on their calendars. Can't wait to see her competing on the gray course at OSU and seeing how low she can go with her score. So, but luckily she is fine. She is able to continue to pursue those bigger events. And what a golfer, what a student athlete. I know that the school is very proud of her, and so are we. We're looking to see how she does in our state tournament.
That's awesome to hear. Tim Streed, Director of Information Services with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Tim, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on.
Yep. Thanks, Skip. Appreciate you having me on.
And we'll be back on the Ohio News Network.
Vex recognizes this week's player with heart, Jonathan Domer from Garraway High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
This is fun, tackling someone with football, being out there with other guys and making new friends.
Yes, Jonathan plays football for fun, but 4-H is about family.
I started 4-H because actually my mom and dad showed 4-H, and my mom showed sheep, my dad showed cattle. Heck, right now I'm showing pigs. In 2021, I got reserve champion hog.
He's still in awe about the impact he has as a farmer.
I was in a tractor and thinking today, and I was like, wow, I'm packing all this silage to feed these cows. This farm, every time they milk three times a day, that will produce milk and feed the world.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
Folding a fitted sheet. Programming the thermostat. Matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like finding that missing sock. That's simple human sense.
Visit Hummel's Newark office right off the downtown square or online at hummelgrp.com.
Hi there, it's Haley from Mike's Roofing, and we're having a vinyl siding sale. Get the best price of the year now. Call me at 740-763-2867, and I'll send out my Uncle Nicky to give you a free estimate. Then I'll send my dad and my brother over to complete the job. We use Provia siding bought locally at MRB. You don't want to miss out. The vinyl siding sale, I'll be waiting for your call. 740-763-2867. And don't forget, we do roofs too.
Text mikesroofing.net.
Really, Dad?
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating on Case 98.7.
This is ONN.
All right, thanks once again to Tim Streed of the OHSAA for joining us this evening. Enjoy the second half of your ball game. I'm Skip Mossick on the Ohio News Network.
This has been the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football, presented by Vex Hybrids. A reminder, you can listen to many of our affiliate broadcasts from across the state at onnradio.com from the Ohio News Network.
Coaches often explain a loss by saying their players failed to protect the quarterback.
46!
Protecting your assets is important in life as it is in football. I'm Brett Boyer from Boyer Insurance, and our team is here to provide the coverage for your life's fumbles. So if your zone gets flooded or an employee injures their backfield, you can recover. Stay on the ball with the help of our team at Boyer Insurance in Zanesville and Coshocton, and online at BoyerINS.com.
Hey, this is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. We don't pay commission. And what that means is our technicians have the time and they have the dedication to read the repair manuals. This is so important. It's not exciting reading, and it takes a while. But because we're not paying someone to cut corners, we'll make sure that it's done right. That technician is going to read the repair manual, and they're going to perform that repair according to the manufacturer's specifications. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems on K98.7.
Carpenter's Market in Somerset, proud supporter of all area high school football teams, invites you to stop in and stock up on all the meat, deli, and dairy items you need. They're open 7 days a week and have the best selection of local produce and local beef. While you're in the store, be sure to check out their weekly specials. You'll save real money on their discounted meat boxes. They're the ideal place to stock up for the colder weather to come. Look for Carpenter's Market on Facebook and at 103 South Columbus Street in Somerset.
Licking Memorial Health System's mission to improve the health of the community extends above and beyond providing quality health care services to Licking County residents. We value service and philanthropy and support local organizations that uplift and strengthen the entire community. LMHS is committed to supporting community benefits in arts and culture, housing and economic improvement, youth activities, social service organizations, higher education, and community service.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Lashley Tractor Sales on K98.7.
Welcome back to Swain Field. We get ready for the third quarter to kick off. Norwayne leading Heath by a score of 28-0. Not the only surprising score that we have going on around the area tonight. Granville and their defense, 17-0. They lead Johnstown. So, again, 8 points given up by the Aces so far in 2.5 games, and that was on a broken fourth and long play against Marion Franklin. Otherwise, the defense has just been stellar so far. How about the Lakewood Lancers? They are at Bexley, and they lead 21-0. Lakewood looking to move to 2-1 on the season. Belle Fountain having their way at Licking Heights, 31-14. Licking Valley trying to pull the upset. They are trailing West Holmes, one of the best teams up in Northern Ohio, 20-19. Newark Catholic Trails Academy, 35-0.
Yeah, I would say that's this most shocking team of the season so far that we covered, just because these have been so dominant for so long, and I mean it's the offense. They're known for this explosive offense, that great offensive line, and the running attack, and it just seems to have disappeared so far early in the season. I mean, hopefully they can turn it around.
I thought Northridge could get their first victory tonight under new head coach Dustin Calhoun. They're up 21-0 at half over Grandview Heights. Utica and Fredericktown, they are tied at 13, and Newark has come back. The Wildcats leading now at Marion Harding, 14-12. All the scores and more tonight on the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show, 9-11 with Mark Bruce and Lee Waller, 9-11 this evening on T100. Well, I don't think that Coach Tim Ward had to do a lot of yelling at halftime. His team knew they didn't play well. They know what they have to do in the second half. They've got to get a stop on this opening possession if they have any chance to get back in this ball game. They've got to stop the Bobcats right here, right now.
Yeah, absolutely, and do it sooner rather than later, since the Bobcats, I think it's clear what their identity is offensively in this game. They like to pound the football. They use their size. They use their big running backs. And when you have the lead, that's the type of team you really want to be, because you're able to move the chains and move the clock. And with the 28-point lead, you don't need to necessarily put up any more points. But we just saw Norwayne outgained Heath in that first half. 262 total yards to just 125.
Heath tries an onside kick to start this third quarter, but it is recovered by Norwayne, so they will start at their 49-yard line. Yeah, you look, 262 to 125, and that says a lot, but also three turnovers to zero making the big difference, because that's 21 points off the turnovers.
Yeah, and that's what really led to that. Yeah, that big second quarter from Norway, now scoring the Bulldogs 21-0 in that quarter. But yeah, it looks like they attempted a little bit of a squib slash onside. So I mean, you gotta kind of just sell out at this point, because you're down 28 and you don't have too much time to make up for it.
First and 10, and here's a handoff up the middle and hit way behind the line of scrimmage, back to about the 46-yard line. Loss of 3 on that first down by Dylan Morlick. Don't forget, Licking County Locker Room coming up this Tuesday, not Monday, this Tuesday at 6:30 due to Labor Day. We'll be looking at the Newark Catholic High School Athletic Department, as we will be joined by new head coach Josh Hendershot, along with members of the football team and athletic department as well. Travis Schaub will be joining us. That is Tuesday night, 6:30, at the Ship Brothers Brewing, downtown Newark. Hope you can join us here on Kate 98.7. Second and 13, and a long pass incomplete out of bounds at the Heath 38-yard line. So, Garrett, here we go. Third and 12. Here's your opportunity to get off the field.
Yeah, these are the Bulldogs' biggest enemies, are these third and longs, which usually isn't the case for most football teams, but tonight, when it's third and 10-plus, that's when the Bobcats seem to draw up their best plays of the night.
Third and 12 at the Bobcat 47-yard line, just starting this third quarter. Opening possession by Norwayne, up by 28 on the Bulldogs. Fans trying to make some noise here for their defense. Here comes the blitz. It's good pressure, and McIntyre gets him in the backfield. Sacked back to the 40-yard line. Just what Heath needed, a quick three and out, and let's see if that can turn this ball game around a little bit.
Yeah, exactly what the Bulldogs needed. Got the fans a little fired up, too, in that play. Got them something to cheer for, because there wasn't much to cheer for in that first half. So you got to think now the Bobcats have to punt this one away. But now your defense did its job. We'll see if the offense made some adjustments in the locker room and is able to move the ball down the field with some consistency.
And a punt is blocked! Blocked down to the 15-yard line! And it will be fouled on at the 10-yard line! So the defense and now special teams gets it done. And let's see what the Bulldog offense can do now that the defense and special teams have executed. I think it was McIntyre, again, who blocked the punt just coming off the sack.
Yeah, he's having a big second half already, and he couldn't have got not a better start to the second half for Heath right now. Set up now first and goal here at about the 10. I mean, yeah, no better shot here to put some points on the board, try to seize back some of that momentum.
First and goal, long way to go, 10 yards. Connor Corbett is back in there, and what do we got? False start against Heath. So mark it back 5 yards and make it first and goal for the 15. So just can't shoot yourself in the foot after, again, two huge back-to-back plays by your defense and special teams.
Yeah, there's no better way of gaining some momentum, no better way of losing some momentum than a false start in a goal-to-go situation. Because it completely changes the way you're going to go at it. Now you go from 10 to 15 yards for an offense that already has been struggling in a rushing attack that has been basically non-existent here tonight.
Bayless to throw. He is looking in the end zone, and the pass is... Did he hold on to it? Yes! Touchdown! Oh, what a great catch as the Bulldogs get on the board on a 15-yard touchdown pass. It is Josh Jones, and Heath is on the board.
Yeah, I want to say that's the best offensive play that the Bulldogs had so far here tonight. Great throw, great catch, and they needed that one bad.
And that was, again, good coverage. Mm-hmm. Just a great catch by Jones. So Heath does capitalize on the blocked punt. Now going for the point after. High snap. Kick on the way. It's good. 10-22, third quarter. Heath trying to come back. They now trail 28-7. Back after this timeout on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Hi, folks. It's Andy Ritberger. There's nothing better than taking your tailgate party up a notch or two, and all it takes is one stop at the Ritberger North Market to get our brats, hot dogs, steaks, ribs, and pork tenderloin. I got to tell you that what's on your grill can make or break your party, so come see us at the Ritberger North Market on Maple Avenue in Zanesville. And if you're in the Buckeye Lake area, check out our new store, the Ritberger Market at the Lake.
Hi there, it's Haley from Mike's Roofing, and we're having a vinyl siding sale. Get the best prices of the year now. Call me at 740-763-2867, and I'll send out my Uncle Nicky to give you a free estimate. Then I'll send my dad and my brother over to complete the job. We use Provia siding bought locally at MRV. You don't want to miss out. The vinyl siding sale, I'll be waiting for your call. 740-763-2867. And don't forget, we do roofs too.
Text mikesroofing.net.
Really, Dad?
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center on K98.7.
A one-play scoring drive, 15-yard touchdown pass from Bayless to Jones, point after good. And it was a line drive kickoff that did bounce off a Norwayne player, but was recovered by the Bobcats, and they will have it now at the 39. So the best defensive plays that third quarter started for Heath, obviously. Now can they do it twice in a row? First and 10, and looks like we're probably going to have offsides against Heath. So aggressive, I get it, but you can't give them a short field. Now let's see if they do call motion. Coach Ward is pleading that their guy moved, but his reaction would say he is not going to win that argument.
I'd say 9.9 times out of 10, the pleading doesn't get you much in these types of sports with the officials.
So it is offsides against Heath, first and 5 from the 44. Here's the handoff, and it's Moyer for a couple of yards up to the 46. So second down and 3.
And, you know, unfortunately, since, you know, you gave up 5 yards on that penalty, more than likely, you know, the Bobcats got 2 rushing plays here to pick up these 3 yards. And like I said, with the type of offense and the type of game plan that worked for them in the first half, at least, you know, they're a run-heavy team. They have the 21-point lead still. It eliminates your room for error for the Bulldogs, especially on defense. Just you can't afford to give up any more points.
Second down. Siegenhaller fake handoff, and he is looking to throw deep, and knocked away, incomplete, but there is a flag on the play, and I think there was contact before the ball was in the air, and you didn't have to do it because you had double coverage. He wasn't going to catch that ball.
Right, it's just kind of another unnecessary penalty right there for the Bulldogs, and yeah, it looks like it's going to go against them here. And you're just kind of, you're bailing out the Bobcats in that situation because, yeah, just kind of a prayer thrown up. Good chance that one actually could have been intercepted. Didn't need to do the extra contact to the receiver, so just extends the drive and sets them up now in Heath territory. So just these little things that, it's just more so, it's not even Heath playing bad, it's just self-inflicted wounds for the most part, and that's just been the theme of the game.
So it's all the way to the Heath 39. Coach Ward not happy with the call, but I do think there was contact before the ball was there. And the Bulldog defense, though, when they are not committing penalties, they are making tackles behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
3-yard loss there on first down.
Yeah, and that's a welcome sight. It's just two I've noticed so far in this second half. It's just a lot better tackling from these Bulldog defenders, and they just look a lot more aggressive, and just it looks like they got a shot with a little bit of bolt of energy right there in the locker room. So they're coming out aggressive. Unfortunately, you know, they couldn't start out the game like this, but you still down by 21, plenty of time. Your offense is very explosive. But like I said, you just don't have the luxury of giving up any more points.
Second down and 13. Siegenhaller to throw, fires, pass in and out of the hands, incomplete, looking for Moyer there at the 35. So here's a third and long once again, and it seems like on the running plays, maybe they're shooting the gaps a little bit quicker than what they did in that first half.
Yeah, just playing, I think, with more energy and more focus coming off the snap here. But interesting call there. Even though Norwayne has the big lead, they have not been shy away from throwing the football here in the second half. But now you're in an obvious passing situation here on third down. Bobcats 1-for-3 on third down so far tonight.
Third and 12. Siegenhaler to throw. Got time. Fires over the middle. And did he make the catch at the 25? They did. Dylan Smith. He is just killing the Bulldogs tonight. Huge pickup once again on third and long.
Yeah. The third and longs, I mean, it's been killer. It's been the theme of the game.
Siegenhaler to throw, and that pass is incomplete and will fall incomplete. So Dylan Smith has caught a 43-yard touchdown pass on a fourth down, gets a pick six, gets another interception, and not saying this is going to be a game changer, but if he doesn't pick that up, they're probably going to punt on fourth down and long, but he's just making play after play, either as a wide receiver or defensive back.
It's just, he makes plays at really critical moments so far in these games.
Second and 10 from the 25. Looked like there was movement up front, but no call. And now Morlock gets the handoff and gets close to the first down. Might be a little bit short. They'll say a 9-yard pickup, but it's third and one. So Norway not taking their foot off the gas by any stretch here. Up 28-7 with 8 minutes to go in this third quarter. But now they are facing a third and one at the Bulldog 16-yard line.
Yeah, two down situation here, and I mean, if I was the Bobcats, I'd just hand it off two times right here, try to pick up this first down. If you don't get it here, you probably will get it on fourth down, just the way you had success running the football.
Here's the handoff, and nope, they're not going to get it on that third down. Moyer stacked up at the line of scrimmage, so here is a huge fourth down for Heath. If they want to continue to try to get back in this ballgame, they're going to have to make the stop on this fourth and one.
I mean, I know what just happened on the third down. You got stuffed right there at the line. I give it off or do some sort of designed run once again here. I just don't have the confidence in the passing game to pick up this big fourth down for Norway in this situation. I just dare that Bulldogs defense to do it again.
I would be very wary of a fake handoff and a quarterback rollout here. It's a full house backfield on fourth and one. They are going to pitch it, and it's Moyer, and he does get the first down. Pretty good pursuit, but again, good blocking up front by Norway. They have executed when they really needed to tonight, and they do on that fourth down.
Yeah, another just critical moment in this game that Norway came out on the right side of. Big four down conversion, extending the drive and, you know, getting closer and closer to that goal line, and the clock continues to tick down.
At the 11, it's first 10-10, inside handoff. Morlock just carrying Bulldog players with him inside the 10 to about the 6-yard line, so second down and 5. They can get a first down in between the 1 and 2-yard line.
Yeah, and to me the recipe's pretty simple still for Norway. I just hand the ball off every single down, basically, in this situation, unless you pick up a penalty here and puts you in an obvious passing situation, just because you're having so much success in the trenches. Those big guys up front are getting a nice push for you. I just continue to have some sort of designed running play.
Second down, and it's Dylan Smith at the Wildcat, and he gets inside the 5-yard line, bringing up third down and 3. And not only that, you're picking up yards, but you're chewing up clock.
Mm-hmm.
We're already at 5 minutes, 40 seconds to go in this third quarter.
And that's why just scoring a touchdown here, I feel like we'll basically put this one away. I know we still have a quarter and a half to play as we get a timeout here by Norway.
So they want to think about this third down and 4 from the 5-yard line. High school football game of the week brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems here on Kate 98.7. 5:17, third quarter. Norwayne leads Heath by a score of 28-7. Our game of the week next week could be a matchup of unbeatens. We'll have to see how tonight plays out. We'll be at White Field. The Newark Wildcats coming in 3-0 to their game tonight against Marion Harding, taking on the Cardinals of Thomas Worthington. Also 3-0, or I should say 2-0, going into tonight's game at Grove City. Pre-game at 6:45, kickoff from White Field at 7 p.m. next Friday. That would be an interesting matchup, to say the least, if both those teams can get road victories tonight. Mm-hmm. Newark in Marion and Thomas Worthington down the road from them at Grove City. So after the timeout, 3rd and 4 from the Heath 5-yard line. I formation behind Siegenhaller on this third down. Hand off, and Morlock will get just inside the 5 to about the 4. So wondering if that play was maybe setting up a field goal attempt here.
It may have been. I mean, that's probably what they're going to be doing here, going for the field goal attempt, which is a high probability, you know, hitting this one pretty short distance, about a 21-yarder here.
So Metzger will attempt this 21-yard field goal attempt. Snap down. Here comes the pressure. Kick on the way, and it is successful. Now making sure there's no flag on the play, because it looked like Metzger fell to the ground, but the acting job doesn't work. So 21-yard field goal makes it 31-7. So both teams probably feeling a little bit of a victory there. Heath stops the touchdown, but Norwayne adds to their lead.
Yeah, I mean, what makes it big there for Norwayne, it doesn't necessarily push it to 4 possessions, but if Heath has to score a touchdown and get 2-point conversion on all 3 of their touchdowns in order to tie this game back up with 4:51 to go in the third, you just, like I said, the room for error continues to shrink smaller and smaller for the Bulldogs, and at this point, it's not even just giving up points, it's just giving up first downs and just giving up extended drives to that Bobcat offense. And you can't take your time on offense either for Heath. You gotta try to put this one in the end zone sooner rather than later.
That 3rd and 13 pickup through the air to the 25 was the key play on that drive, setting up the field goal by Metzger. He's now ready to kick it off from the 40-yard line, and he does. End over end kick. McIntyre will field it at the 7. He is up to the 20. 25-yard line and about to the 26, where he is stopped right there. And I believe 7 points is what Norwayne has given up in their first 2 contests. Is that right? 56-7 to Brookfield, and then 7 to Canton Central Catholic. So
that's their average.
Their defense has been stellar. Their offense has scored a bunch of points in 2 games. So he's trying to get the most points against them if they can score here. And obviously they need to at the 27-yard line, 1st and 10, 4:44 in this third quarter. Bayless is ready. Connor Corbett is back in. Trips to the far side on this 1st and 10. Got to think you're going to go as quick as you can here. Corbett gets to the 30-yard line and a stop there. Norwayne Division 5 program. Heath Division 4 this year. Or check that, Division 5. My apologies. So both Division 5 teams. And across the 30, Corbett goes. So 2nd down and 6. Both these teams, you would think, would make the postseason with the expansion. And Coach Ward talked about this game would get us ready for the postseason, win or lose, knowing what we might face. Corbett gets the handoff again. His best run, 40, midfield, into Bobcat territory. Easily the best run to about the 45-yard line. And now you got to keep going.
Yeah, just hurry up, try to keep the Bobcats on their heels. But I think, unfortunately, there seems to be a Bobcat down that will slow things down for the Bulldogs. the time being here, but that's, I feel like, what they were kind of hoping for. Corbett can make a habit out of doing in the second half, is breaking up, you know, those big gains up the middle there. And that's a good sign, too, because up until really that point, that rushing attack was non-existent.
Play remains down for Norway. And that gives the Bulldogs a chance here to maybe even call a couple plays. Because, yeah, you've got to score quickly and put as much pressure as you can on the defense. Might be a cramp as they're working on the leg of the Norwegian player. And as we talked about in the pregame show with Coach Ward, back-to-back toughies for Heath.
Yeah.
You got this game and then on the road, and we're going to assume unbeaten Granville. So it really is a tough two-game stretch here for Heath.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier for him next week. And, I mean, you have a tough opponent coming in this week with Norway. And Heath, you know, possibly may have been looking a little ahead to that Granville game, may have overlooked the Bobcats a little bit here tonight, just because, you know, they played some tough games against Granville the past couple of years. You know, a lot of good friendly competition between those two teams. But, yeah, there's no doubt that Heath is going to have to come out and play a better football game because, I mean, in a way, Norwegian's built very similar to how Granville is. Very big up front. They will likely have the size advantage in the trenches once again. They're going to use their rushing attack. And then their defense is elite, and they do not give up many points.
Nope. So, looks like it's Dylan Smith who is the injured Norwegian player, and he is walking off under his own power, gingerly to the sidelines, but he will be going off at least for a couple of plays, we would assume here. So it's first and 10. Bulldogs at the Norwegian 45-yard line. Clock will start back up here at 4:02, third quarter. Bayless in the gun. Goes back to throw. Again, pressure, and he will be sacked at midfield. And basically unblocked that time, Derek. Both coming on both ends, and nothing that he could do there.
Yeah, it's been the theme of the game is that's no protection for Bayless whenever he drops back to throw, scrambling, running for his life. And, you know, we're just talking about that thing, the Granville game next week. That's something that they are going to try to, you know, if they can't directly improve it, work around at least for that one.
Oh, and just drilled in the backfield. There is a flag on the play. Might be a face mask or a horse collar as Connor Corbett got spun around. It is going to be a face mask, so that will make it a 15-yard penalty and get Heath back in better shape. But Corbett was just ripped around there back at the 48-yard line.
Yeah, putting the spin cycle in that... A little bit of a break that time for Heath. Moves the chains for him. Moves him downfield 15 more yards. We'll see if they can build some momentum off of this this penalty. I think the key for them is just to pick up a big play and then just continue to hurry up on offense. Because when they get settled, you don't want to let that Bobcat defense, you know, make substitutions, make adjustments, settle in.
So they mark it at the 45, second and 10. And I got to be honest with you, folks, I'm a little confused about where the ball was marked. But nevertheless, here's a backwards pass to McIntyre, and he's hit behind the line of scrimmage at the 48-yard line. So it's going to be a third down and about 13 from the Bobcat 48. So this drive, which looked promising a couple of plays ago, now going backwards a little bit with 3 minutes to go, third quarter. Third and 13, obviously, two down territory here, down 31-7. But it's the pressure again up front when there's just not a lot of opportunities for the Bulldog speedsters to get out in the open and do something.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just the consistency of giving protection to Bayless is what's led to them stalling.
Here's Bayless rolling out, looking over the middle, no one open. Now he'll take off 50, 45, 40. Nice move, 35, 30. In the open field, 20.
He's at the 10. It's a house call for Braden Bayless. What a move. What a drive. 52 yards. And it's a touchdown. All on his own.
I mean, that play looked dead in the water. I was like, all right. It maybe at least he set up a fourth and manageable, it looked like. But then he made that nice little move, cut back on the outside, and he showed off his speed that time. And that's what happens when you're able to get these playmakers in the open field, is they will burn you 9 times out of 10. And in a blink of an eye, just when you thought the Bulldogs are dead in the water, Braden Bayless, huge play to give them a little bit of a chance here. They got to go for two.
And they will. So Corbett is behind Bayless on this two-point attempt. Looking to throw, pressure rolling right, lobs it in the end zone, and off the hands. And a great opportunity there for Marks, because Bayless lofted it over the defender, but it would have been a tough catch. It goes awry. But 48-yard touchdown run by Bayless, 2:22 to go third quarter, and it's 31-13. But he was rolling out to his right. Didn't seem like there was a lot there. Moved along the sideline, then cut it up across the middle, and great speed. Great speed about the 25-yard line.
Yeah, he was showing off his wheels. He was showing off that dual threat ability on that one. And yeah, like we said, it's if you're able to get these playmakers enough time, you're able to get them out in the open field in these one-on-one situations with defenders, they're going to win them more times than not. It's just the fact of getting them in those proper situations. And in the few times that we've seen him tonight, that's when Heath was able to put some points on the board. But not getting that two-point conversion at this point of the game is still really, really big. Still down 3 possessions, even though you're able to put 6 more points on the board.
So let's see what they do here on this kickoff attempt. It is a little pooch kick that will be fielded at the 35. And he kneeled down at the 35 and got hit. It was a real late kneel down, but I get it that they're going to call a personal foul. And it'll be moved up close to midfield for Creston Norway.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, tough sequence of events right there for Heath. And it's just been the theme of the game, really. I mean, one step forward, 2 steps back. That's how this game's gone today for the Bulldogs. But
did they wave it off? Nope. I was thinking they were going to wave it off. But
the pleading may have worked that one time, but no.
And they took their time to move it up, so it'll be at the 49-yard line. So, again, you hate giving them half a field already trailing 31-13, but that's where we're at. Norwayne has it with 2:21 left in this third quarter. And we are ready on first and 10. Here's a handoff to Moyer, and he will get about 45. Now just keeps churning. And we'll get close to the first down marker. Just didn't stop his legs.
Yeah, he wanted it. He wanted those extra yards. And that's kind of, I feel like, a summary of the battle of the trenches in this game was that last play. You know, it looked like he's going to be stood up for about 5-6 yard pickup. But the second effort, you know, able to pick up those extra 2 or 3 yards. Instead of 2nd and 5, it's 2nd and 1.
From the Heath 42-yard line. Bobcats leading at 31-13, and here's Moyer getting the first down, 40, 39, inside the 35 to about the 34. Maybe starting to wear down that defensive line.
Yeah, it looks like that Heath defense has lost a little wind in their sails here compared to their last time out. They're really sharp coming off the ball and really high energy on the pursuits and stuff. But yeah, I think what you said, it's just constantly running the ball up the middle. That's why teams do it. You know, they started and they established that in the first quarter, is because, you know, when you get a lead, and you hopefully get a lead, you wear down the opposing defense, and then you hopefully just break off a big run.
Here's a handoff to Morlick, and he will get to the 35-yard line, but he'll lose a yard on that play. So it'll make it a 2nd down and 11. They've kind of contained him a little bit better in this third quarter, but Moyer's doing the heavy lifting right now as we are under a minute.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Keith has played a lot better in this second half and this third quarter than they have the majority of the game. They've won this third quarter, no doubt, but it's just you dug yourself into such a big deficit in that first half that, you know, you basically have to play perfect football for the rest of the way going forward if you're hoping to make a comeback here.
Fake handoff. Siegenhaller will keep it, and he'll get back to the original line of scrimmage and make it a third down and 10, and quite certain that Norwayne will let the clock run out of this third quarter, and that's exactly what they do. So one quarter remains here at Swank Field. Bobcats lead the Bulldogs 31-13. Back for the fourth quarter after this timeout on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Trillium Farms, one of the country's leading egg producers, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, they want you on their team. Hiring maintenance technicians, shippers, production, and processing workers. They offer some of the highest earnings in the industry, a very competitive benefits package, and a $2,000 sign-on bonus. Current openings or apply online at versova.com. VersoVa.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is April with the Licking County Veterans Service Office. Are you or someone you know who served in the armed forces homeless or in danger of becoming homeless? Please contact the Licking County Veterans Service Office. We are connected with programs designed to assist homeless veterans and their families. Contact the Licking County Veterans Service Office at 670-5430. Again, that's 670-5430. We are located at 935 Buckeye Avenue in Newark.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Mike's Roofing on Kate 98.7.
Brian Mays, Garrett Wando, fourth quarter. Here at Heath, Bulldogs trailing Norwayne by a score of 31-13. It is third and 10 for Norwayne at the Bulldog 34-yard line. And should have a false start against Norwayne, and we do. High School Football Game of the Week brought to you by Mike's Roofing on Kate 98.7. So, see if the Bulldogs can hold them right here and force a fourth down discussion. Dylan Smith is back in for Norway. Back at the 39-yard line. And Norway has one of their arch rivals next week, Jeromesville Hillsdale, who came in 2-0 this week as well. So a couple of tough back-to-back games for the Bobcats as well. Pressure up the middle, but a man is wide open at the 10-5 touchdown. Norwayne, they continue to just dominate third down plays. Mason Moyer out of the backfield, 39 yards, but hold everything. A holding call on Norwayne. So Heath Bulldogs fans can say thank you. Because Garrett, he was wide open.
Yeah, that was a busted coverage, or someone forgot their assignment or fell asleep on that play, because, like you said, wide open. He waited on that pass to even reach him, too. That's how wide open he was. And I was just shaking my head up here once again, because I was like, third and forever again. And right on cue, Norwayne pulls another trick up their sleeve and just makes another big play. But fortunately for Heath, it's getting called back. But they, third and 25. We've seen this movie before, right? We'll see if Heath learned their lesson.
Here comes pressure. He is hit in the backfield, and it is caught by Morlick. You're thinking potential interception, but he is able to get it and get to the Heath 45, but a good tackle right there, because I don't know if that tackle's not made. I think he's going to go down that sideline.
Yeah, I was holding my breath, too. I was holding my breath until I saw him down, because even when the ball was in there and he caught him, I'm like, oh, geez, here we go, another miracle play. But good job that time by the Bulldogs. They were able to capitalize off the penalty, force a punt, keep their chances alive.
Morlick will punt it away, and it will bounce and go out of bounds. inside the 10. Let's pause for station identification. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254 CT Newark, Kate 98.7.
They'll mark it at the 10-yard line. First and 10, Heath, 11:07, fourth quarter. Bulldogs need to rally, trailing Norwayne by a score of 31-13. Don't miss any of the action with our free app. Download WCLT Radio in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, and you're streaming the game on Kate 98.7. First and 10, Heath. They've got to go 90 yards, and they've got to do it quickly. Trailing by 28. Bayless will run. He's at the 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Huge pickup on first down, as he will get all the way out across the 40 and a first down pickup. And I should say they're trailing by 18, not 28. That's why it was a miracle I graduated from high school. 42-yard line, first and 10. Heath, get you out of danger real quick when you got a quarterback like Bayless using his legs on that play.
Yeah, so far Bayless has been a one-man army, really, in the second half on the ground.
He is looking deep, and the pass downfield incomplete. Moyer was right there, and it falls harmlessly to the turf, second and 10.
Yeah, I mean, we know Bayless. I've been impressed with what I've seen from him, because we were talking about, you know, he's turned the ball over three times, two interceptions, one fumble. We were curious to see, you know, where his mental state was at, you know, with this. It's not a performance I'm sure that he's proud of tonight, but he's come out in the second half, and he's been the best player on offense for the Bulldogs. I think it's just up to someone else here trying to make a play for him and help him out.
Second and 10 from the 42. Here's a handoff to Corbett. He's trying to make a play, and he does. Midfield, 45-40, still goes. And he's had a couple of good, solid runs in this second half. He will be marched to the 38-yard line. So the chains will move. It's first and 10. Got to be ready. Got to get up there and go.
Yeah, I just don't give any breathing room here to the Bobcats. I keep going. Hurry up offense, because that's what seems like that's when your offense has the most success.
Boy, you'd love to hit a home run right here, wouldn't you? First and 10 at the 38. Bayless rolls to his right, now scrambles away, looking for somebody. He will keep it. Nice cut at the 40, 35, 30, 25, still on his feet. Oh, a couple nice zigs, 20, 15, 10, and knocked out of bounds at the 6-yard line. He ran all over the field that time, but now they're knocking on the door once again. First and goal, they're going to put it at the 5. Bayless, as you said, doing it all right now.
He's got some Bayless magic out here on the field tonight. I mean, the way he's playing, you think he's the running back. I mean, he is making defenders miss every and which way. I mean, that play was blown up in the backfield, eluding the sack, and not only that, but making another huge gain on the ground. It's that first and goal.
From the 5, here's Corbett up the middle, touchdown! Bulldogs back in it. The touchdown of 5 yards by Connor Corbett. 10:15 remains in this fourth quarter. It's 31-19. I think you still go for two here, don't you?
Yeah, because it cuts it down to at least a touchdown, just a field goal, so just 10 points. My math is correct. If my math's better than yours.
Well, it better be, because if it's not, we're in a world of hurt.
Yeah, but yeah, it looks like they're going to be set up going for two to try to cut down to a 10-point game, because, yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible now for the Bulldogs to make a comeback in this game, but like I said, like we've been saying, perfect football needs to be played for the rest of the way going forward.
Huge two-point attempt right here. Trips to the near side. Corbett is with Bayless in the backfield. Bayless looking over the middle. Oh, he's got a lot of pressure. Nowhere to go to. Spins away. He's all the way back to the 30-yard line looking for somebody, and nobody there. Play just blew up, and he was smashed at about the 29-yard line. He gets up, But, man, that has to hurt a little bit. We'll take a break. 10:15 left, fourth quarter, 31-19. Norwayne leads it. Back after this timeout on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
McGuire's Distinctive Trucks has been your trusted truck accessories supplier for years. And now they've got Patriot Spray and Liner, the newest technology for your truck bed. Get wear, tear, and corrosion protection with the best spray-in bed liners, backed by Patriot's nationwide warranty. McGuire's Distinctive Trucks installers will ensure a uniform application that will protect your truck from everything you throw at it. Plus, it looks great, and it can be installed quickly. Patriot Liners and McGuire's Distinctive Trucks in Carroll, your truck partner.
60 years of getting the job done right. 60 years of satisfied customers at their homes and businesses.
Houston Plumbing and Heating, your York professional contractor, is celebrating 60 years in business.
Since 1963, our family has been keeping your family safe and comfortable.
Call us at 740-763-3961, where for 60 years and counting, one call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating on Case 98.7.
Here's the kickoff, and it will sail over the head of Norway. The ball bounces around, and they will field it at the 10-yard line. Kind of unsure of what they're doing. So
yeah.
We're starting to see some fatigue and maybe some mental mistakes here by the Bobcats as the once 28-7 lead is now 31-19, and a lot of time left, 10 minutes and 15 seconds. The Heat defense, after 28 points, which they gave up 21 of those in the first half, only allowing 3 points so far in half number two, and now having the ball at the 10-yard line, need to make another stop. So first and 10, the fans getting into this a little bit more. They realize the Bulldogs have an opportunity. Here's a handoff, and Morlick hit behind the line of scrimmage. Might been able to squirm forward back to the line, but it's a different defense right now.
Yeah, they definitely, something happened to them adjustment-wise, mentally, mental, physically at halftime, because they have been doing a lot better job at meeting that rushing attack at the line of scrimmage. They were getting dominated, plain simple, in that first half. But in the second half, they've been able to keep up with it, just limiting the big plays. They've only given up 3 points so far in the second half to the Bobcats.
Second and 10. Siegenhaller to throw. He is looking long for Smith. He's out there, and oh, he makes the catch. He is all the way up to the 44-yard line, 34 yards on second and 10. We've talked about their running backs, but Dylan Smith, he's my player of the game for Norway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He has been, like you said, he's just been making plays at high-impact moments. You know, second down 10, the running game seemed to be dissolving for the Bobcats. Kind of just a prayer thrown up, and he makes a great catch.
But he was able to get behind the defense and makes the play. Flagged on the play on this play, probably a hold against Norwayne. So again, you're going to have him behind the sticks, Garrett.
I mean, for the most part, on first and second downs, Bulldogs have been lights out on defense. It's those third downs where, you know, you're just holding your breath, you're on the edge of your seat. I'm sure everybody here is when it comes to that opportunity. So, I mean, yeah, the key here, obviously, you're set up now first and 20. Make it third and 20, right? But just at this point, you know, I know Heath likes being aggressive on defense like they are on offense, but maybe just they'll play a little bit more safer just to make that adjustment in this game.
Nope, here they come on the blitz. And the pass, oh, what a catch by Smith. One-handed catch. He gets a few yards, but it was just the athletic play. And he will get 4 yards to the 37, 38-yard line. So it's still second down and long with 9 minutes remaining in this fourth quarter. 31-19, Norway needs it. Second and 16. Looks like the Bulldogs might be coming again. They're creeping up, and a little bit of pressure. He's looking long for Smith. And, of course, he makes the catch at the Bulldog 32-yard line. He's just getting behind the defenders. They're just throwing it up, and he's making the catch.
Yeah, and I think what Norwayne has done to adjust specifically on this drive, they know he's going to continue to play aggressive. So what are they doing? They're daring their defensive backs to play one-on-one against Smith, and they're just basically throwing it up to him, and it's been working. So really, like we've been saying, Smith's been the player of the game, not only for the Bobcats, just in this entire game. You may just want to double cover him and just continue to bring the pressure and see what happens. Make someone else on this Norwayne team try to beat you.
So on a 2nd and 10, he gets a huge pickup. On a 2nd and 16, he gets a huge pickup. The running game has become non-existent. Hand off to Morlick there, and he's going to be stopped at the line, but it's what you're going to do now, as the clock is now becoming a huge factor. We're down to 8:25. So yeah. Opportunities have been there. Bayless, you know, is just chomping to get back on the field because he's running circles around the Norwayne defense right now. But he's stuck on the sidelines at least for a few more plays. 2nd and 10 at the Bulldog 32-yard line. They need two scores, and they've got a hold. 2nd and 10 at the 32. Bunched in tight, but two wideouts to the far side on the second down. And knocked in the backfield. Ball is loose. And they're saying they're going to say it's incomplete. And the fans and the coaches are beside themselves. I don't know. It was close. Please see Tom Brady against the Raiders years ago in the AFC Championship game.
That may have been before my time.
You don't know about the Tuck game?
No.
Oh, you and I are going to have to talk.
Yeah, I guess we are.
You and I are going to have to talk. He was hit by two players. I think he was trying to throw it, but I can't say that he had his arm in motion.
That's what I'm saying, too. I think, to me, like, from up here, initially, my gut call would have been fumble.
And it was going to be picked up at a scoop
six,
and score.
Yeah.
Yep. 3rd and 10. Here comes the blitz by Gould. Pass is caught by Smith, but they are going to stop him short of the first down. Corbett on the tackle. So here is your 4th down and about 6 from the Bulldog 28, 7.5 minutes remain. What a call here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, all eyes are going to be on Smith here since he's the player who likes to rise to the occasion in these types of moments. But Norwayne 2 for 2 on 4th down so far here tonight. And undoubtedly the biggest play of the game for both of these teams. I mean, a pick up here could really boost Norwayne's chances of winning.
They are looking to throw. Siegenhaller, he has got time. He is looking long in the end zone. Touchdown, Norwayne. Mason Saul, 27 yards on 4th down, and probably ball game.
Yep, I think that that touchdown, I mean, can't say with certainty that it ends it, but about 99% chance that this one is over after that play. And it's just, once again, it's just these critical moments. You can rewind this game and look at it. The critical moments, the 3rd and longs, the 4th downs. That's 3 for 3 on 4th down conversions for Norway. So, I mean, they have just been clutch tonight. And it's been reflected on the scoreboard.
6:50 remains, 4th quarter. 38-19, Bobcats lead the Dogs. Back after this timeout on the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Do you come home to find your trash thrown all over the ground, driveway, or yard? Or are you just tired of paying too much just to get rid of your trash? Call Shackelford's Disposal today, offering a weekly residential trash service at honest and fair pricing. Shackelford's also offers commercial and dumpster services for your weekend and construction projects. So call Shackelford's Disposal at 740-366-0001, where you get the real deal.
Hi, this is Chris from K-Steps Auto Body. We don't pay commission. And what that means is our technicians have the time and they have the dedication to read the repair manuals. This is so important. It's not exciting reading, and it takes a while. But because we're not paying someone to cut corners, we'll make sure that it's done right. That technician is going to read the repair manual, and they're going to perform that repair according to the manufacturer's specifications. K-Steps Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-steps.com.
K-Steps, quality you can trust.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems on K98.7.
So the second fourth down touchdown pass of the night by Norway gives them a 38-19 lead with 6 minutes 50 seconds to go, fourth quarter. Kickoff is a touchback, so Heath will get it first and 10 at the 20. And we've talked Dylan Smith, we've talked running game, but props to their quarterback, Siegenhaller. He's got 3 touchdown passes on the night, and he's been very accurate when they've needed him to be. Here's Connor Corbett up the middle, picks up a first down to the 34-yard line. He's had a much stronger second half running the football.
And obviously, I feel like Heath was able to make some really good adjustments in the locker room and figure it out. But, you know, if they were able to just limit a little bit of that damage, one or two touchdowns less, if they were down maybe 14 or just 21 to nothing instead of 28 to nothing, heading to the locker room, this may be a different ballgame.
Bayless runs out of bounds, and he is hit out of bounds, and a flag does fly, so we will have a personal foul. And hopefully nothing extracurricular here after the play, which doesn't seem to be. Coach Ward comes over to check on his quarterback. I don't think anything there was too outrageous, but he was hit out of bounds, and the referees called it, so everything was right. So it'll be a personal foul, and Bulldogs will get an automatic first down. Coach Ward still having some words to say to the official. And he is telling Coach Ward, and not what we wanted to see there. Coach Ward was not done. The official said, go back to the sidelines. He kept jawing with him, and I guess would they call that offsetting? I'll see what they do here, because
I would assume because they're both dead ball.
Yeah.
But they're moving the sticks.
And now, sideline warning. They're just going to give him a sideline warning. Which I guess technically could be true.
Yeah.
So that's a break. That's a break for the Dogs. They will get it at midfield. First and 10. And maybe Coach Ward knew it's just going to be a sideline warning, so he was just going to continue to get his point across. Bayless from midfield fires, and the pass in and out of the hands of Jones. Incomplete. So it'll be second down and 10. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you talk about a game of just a few plays here and there, but the clutch plays have been done all night by Creston Norwayne on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm. And then also I think those turnovers too have played a big factor. Bobcats, really good ball security in this one. No turnovers to Heath 3. And usually when you lose a turnover battle, that's just a golden rule of football. You lose a turnover battle, you oftentimes lose the football game. So when you turn over 3 times in one half, it's hard to overcome that deficit.
Here's Bayless to throw on 2nd and 10. He rolls to his left, and he is looking long for Dunlap, and pass falls incomplete. Seeing if there's going to be a flag. There will not be. Oh, no, wait, we do have a flag. Back at the line, it could be a roughing the quarterback, and it is. Personal foul against the Bobcats, so move it to the 35-yard line. And we've seen this several times in high school football. When you get a little frustrated and then tired mentally, that's when mm-hmm. the penalties start coming.
Yeah. And I mean, 6:19 left, up by 19. It's basically over, but you don't want to give unnecessary hope, right, to the Bulldogs here. You don't want to, I mean, if they score in this play, who's covering onside, you know, who knows what can happen. We've seen crazier things happen. So, I mean, you don't want to give them unnecessary chances, unnecessary hope to this dangerous Heath Bulldog team, because, you know, we saw what they've what they've been capable of in the second half.
Bayless to throw, and it's a little screen to Corbin. He's open, 30, 25-20, turns on the afterburners. He's at the 10, makes a nice move, 5, and house call, Bulldogs! Corbett doing his best Braden Bayless impersonation, running all over the field, and it's a 35-yard touchdown scamper after the screen pass. Don't count out H-E-A-T-H yet. Bulldogs right there.
I had a feeling. I said they may score on this play right there, so they ended up doing so. 6:01 to go. I mean, it's slim, but slim's still in town.
Extra point on the way, no good. Line drive, and it was below the crossbar, so 38-25, 13-point deficit right now. So the offense has definitely awoken in this half number two. Some long scoring drives, that one an 80-yard scoring drive, aided by a couple of personal foul penalties, but you have to take advantage of that, and Corbett does on the 35-yard screen pass. 6 minutes to go.
I mean, it's up to the defense really now for Heath. I mean, if you can get a three and out, I mean, obviously they're probably going to try a little squib onside, what they've been doing for most of the second half, but I mean, you don't necessarily need to do that. If you can force a three and out, get the ball back, put it in the end zone quickly, you still have all three of your timeouts, too. I mean, like I said, if you play perfect football the rest of the way going forward, that's why I said you don't want to be picking up all these unnecessary penalties, because that drive did start out looking so promising for Heath. It kind of looked like, yeah, they came out, they were looking a little defeated, some frustrations coming out, but the Bobcats were giving them the life that they needed. They were able to capitalize off of those penalties with that long Corbett touchdown. And like I said, slim, not big, but slim. Slim chance here.
Trying to get confirmation, but we have heard Newark has rallied and defeated Marion Harding 35-28.
Wow.
I can't say it's official, but we have heard that. And if that's the case, the Cats are 3-0 headed to next week. Are we starting to call them the Cardiac Cats?
The Cardiac Cats. I mean, you win next week, and may have to.
All three victories come from behind. So, onside kick recovered by Preston Norwayne, and they will have it at their 48-yard line. Also, Licking Valley looking to get their first win, leading West Holmes late fourth quarter, 34-28. So Randy Boffman and the Panthers trying to get a big upset. This would be a great comeback by the Bulldogs. Norwayne at their 48. Heath trailing 38-25. But they've almost got to get a turnover, I'm thinking. Somehow, some way, find a way to get that ball. Here's the handoff. And picking up a first down and more, but it's going to be brought back for a penalty on the play. So after looking like they might get down to the 30-yard line with Moyer once again, they're going to bring it back. I would not want to play these Bobcats the rest of the way. They look like a very good football team, and I think they could make some noise in the postseason if they continue to play this way. But they have made a lot of penalties in the second half.
Yeah, just really specifically the past few minutes. I mean, it's been a majority, lots of personal fouls, lots of holdings, and this doesn't help your case here because you're most certainly just trying to run the clock out here. And first down and 20 to go here, 5:53 remaining.
How many times have we said this, first and 20?
It's been a lot, and they've also converted it a lot.
Yep.
And that's why they're winning. So it's, once again, up to the Bulldogs here to limit those big plays. You have a lot of breathing room, so you don't have to sell out completely here thanks to that holding call.
Here's the handoff to Morlock, and he will get to the 40. And I was wondering if Heath was going to start using the timeouts, and they will use one here with 5:45 to go. So second down, and 18 from the 40-yard line. Don't forget, Licking County Locker Room Show at a special time. Sound like one of those TV deals. It'll be Tuesday evening, not Monday night on our usual night because of Labor Day. Tuesday, 6:30 from Ship Brothers Brewing, downtown Newark. Hopefully you can come out and say hi, get some good food and drink. We'll be featuring the Newark Catholic Green Wave. Travis Schwab, athletic director and boys basketball coach, new head coach Josh Hendershot of the football team. And a couple of players will be joining us. That's Tuesday night, 6:30, Licking County Locker Room here on Kate 98.7. Bulldogs with two timeouts remaining. 5:45 on the clock. 38-25 Heath trails. And again, Norwayne had given up a total of 14 points in two games. The offense has revitalized itself, stopped the turnovers, which Garrett alluded to, had three of those in half number one. And the defense, after seeing 28 on the board, that 21 of them they gave up, has reduced that to 10 in this second half. But still, big play after big play by the Bobcats. Coach Adam Indorf having a lengthy discussion here with the officials. Not sure what about. But this game has gotten tense. Both coaches having something to say to the officials. And at this point, I'd say, okay, he's had his piece, let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. Out of a timeout, what he's yapping about over there?
Well, he is
seeing something we don't see.
Working his way back to his sideline, and I think we're ready to go. So second and 18 from the 40. And where is Dylan Smith? Looks like he is split out here to the near side. It's going to be a pitch to Moyer, and breaks a couple of tackles, gets to the 43. Will Heath use it second time out? I don't think so. So third down, the proverbial 15 from the 43-yard line.
That's been the magic number tonight for Norwayne, so got to be on your heels here, and I think, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they maybe try to take a shot, you know, they try to get some single coverage and throw it deep. That's been their signature play here in this fourth quarter of moving the chains.
Well, you're going to have trips coming out here to the near side, including Smith. He's in the middle of the trips. Here comes the pressure. Gould trying to get there, and it's going to be Smith. He's open, 45 midfield, 45-40, and he's got the first down. It's just the same play over and over, finding Dylan Smith, and they get the first down. It hasn't changed all night.
That's the game plan, and apparently they know what's coming. They just cannot stop it. So third and 15, third and 10 plus, really, tonight, they've converted basically each and every single time. And once again, when they need a clutch play, the biggest play up until this moment in the game just occurred just a few minutes ago, third and 15, and the Bobcats come out on the right side of it once again.
And Gould was almost there, but Siegenhaller just gets it off, and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah. It's just these little plays where, you know, if the Bulldogs were able to just stop a couple of those third downs, you know, they may be the ones up 38-25 right now instead.
Heath will call a timeout. We'll keep it here with 4.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So, Bulldogs will be traveling to Granville next week, and the Blue Aces have defeated Johnstown 31-0. So, back-to-back shutouts by the Blue Aces. Offense must have gotten in gear tonight as well. So, Granville moves to 3-0. Heath trying to get to 3-0 for that matchup at Walter J. Hodges Stadium next week. But again, just one touchdown that the Blue Aces have given up in three games.
Yeah, they're going to have their work cut out for them next week, and I think, you know, look at how you played the second half here tonight, and that's the type of football game that you need to try to carry over into Granville next week. You cannot come out flat against that team, or else they will make you pay. You may not be able to recover. So, and then also, obviously, just looking at the big plays here tonight, limiting the big plays, looking at the clutch moments and saying, you know, if we want to go on a run, like everyone is expecting us, like we're expecting us, you know, to make a deep run to, you know, possibly win, you know, a championship, you have to come up big in big play situations.
Second and 10 from the 39. And I'm starting to think that they're going in motion just to have longer second and 14, second and 15, because that's what it works.
That's what works.
This really has been the pattern. They will have a false start or motion on first or second down, get behind the sticks, and then
get a first.
It works.
Yeah, it's weird. Whatever works, right? Whatever works. But, yeah, it's just, it's very odd. It's an odd football game, the way that Norwayne's been able to succeed. You know, it's not typical, right? When it's third and 15, you know, nine times out of ten, you don't, most teams don't pick up that first down, no matter what level of football you're playing.
And let's see what we've got now. We've got another flag. So, everybody's getting their money's worth tonight.
Yeah,
let's see
might.
What the call is here. Delay of gains. So, second and 20. Mark it back to the 49. I'm sure Coach Indorf is like, just get the clock rolling.
Yeah.
And it's gotten sloppy.
Yeah.
It has definitely gotten sloppy in the second half, which he's kind of in need to happen to get them out of their rhythm and start their own type of rhythm. And it's worked somewhat, but you still got to make a play. Here's Morlock, and he will get to the 46. And pretty good shot in the backfield with Gould and Singenhaller, but the rest are going to let it go, and Heath will use their final timeout here on a third down and about 20 from the 46-yard line. So I don't know if you put it up in the air here now that Heath is out of timeout.
Right.
You want the clock to run more than anything at this point.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, right?
But it's been successful.
That's what I'm saying. The success rate on throwing it up on third and 20 is uncharacteristically high tonight for the Bobcats. But in this situation, no timeouts, I would probably just hand it off, get that clock running, you know. You're up by 13. Unless you have a huge, a historical collapse like, you know, your favorite team, the Cleveland Browns, in a situation like this, you should walk away with a victory.
Well, and I told you that we had to make sure it was official when we talked about Newark. They have changed the score.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Marion Harding leads at 34-14.
Oh.
So talk about your reversals of fortune.
Yeah, that's complete shift.
Yes, in a big way. Here's the handoff, and Morlett trying to break a couple of tackles, but the Bulldogs right there will knock him back for a couple of yard loss. So it'll bring up fourth down. Fourth down and a long way to go. But again, now the clock is definitely on the side of the Bobcats. Will be under 4 minutes before they decide what they want to do here, which I'm pretty sure they're going to punt it away and force the Bulldogs to go deep. So 38-25 is our score. Norwayne leads it. And Morlock will be back at his 41-yard line. Snap, kick away. One of his better kicks will bounce and go into the end zone. So 3 minutes, 34 seconds for Heath to get 13 points, and it's doable. But they've got to go quick, and they're out of timeouts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I don't even know if I would call it slim. I don't know if it's less than slim here, but yeah, you'd have to go down the field as quick as possible, get a touchdown, and you have to either force a turnover on the opposite side of the football on defense or recover an onside kick, because depending on how much time you take off the clock here in offense, because if you give the ball back to the Bobcats with under 2 minutes to go, I mean, they can just kneel the clock out.
Bayless in the gun, first and 10. This time a lot of time to throw, looking over the middle, incomplete. Looking for Jones, prevent defense basically there by the Bobcats, not rushing as much that time, second down and 10.
Yeah, which is the right call in this situation. Just keep everything in front of you. The last thing you want right here is to give up an 80-yard touchdown. So if you're going to give up a touchdown, that's fine, but make them take a minute or two off the clock. Make them, you know, go 5, 6, 7 plays. Eat up just some of that clock. That's the main objective of this drive for Norway.
Here's Corbett. He will get the handoff, and he will get about 4 yards, but you can't waste any time now. You've got to go, go, go.
Yep.
Third down, and they'll give him 5. Generous spot there with 3 minutes, 10 seconds. Bayless gets the snap. Quick throw and making the catch, Dunlap. Does he get out of bounds? He does. Picks up the first down to about the 32, 33-yard line. 3 minutes exactly to go.
Yeah, just try to play the sidelines, which I'm sure Norway is going to try to guard against, is, you know, keep everything in front of you and playing the sidelines. That's the classic prevent defense you see. But, yeah, just...
You see that defense that every fan hates of the team that's winning.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the prevent defense. Bayless to throw. Rolling, now scrambling a little bit, trying to make something happen. Fates once, now throws, and they're going to say he caught it at the 38-yard line. Connor Toomey, every time he catches it, it's a miraculous circus catch. He will just get to the 37. So that took 10 seconds for about a 4-yard pickup.
Yeah.
Somehow you're going to have to get the ball down the field, which is tough to do against that prevent.
Yeah, that's the objective if executed correctly. And just in general tonight, it's been hard to move the ball in big chunks against the Bobcats.
Bayless again scrambling and will throw it out of bounds. No intentional grounding there. There was a receiver in the vicinity, that being Connor Corbett. So 3rd and 6.
Yeah, I mean, Corbett's been really explosive here in the second half. I understand maybe trying to get the ball in his hands without directly handing it off. Maybe take a page out of Norwayne's book, maybe run a sort of a screenplay maybe to one of your receivers or your running back.
They'll give Corbett the handoff, and the prevent defense that time was loaded up at the box, and they knock him out of bounds with about a 1-yard pickup. So it's 4th down from about the 38, 4th and 5 with 2 minutes, 38 seconds. So ball game right here.
Yep.
If Heath does not pick it up.
And, yeah, I mean, like I said, you really only have 38 seconds to even work with here. If even that, I mean, unless you're able to force a recover an onside kick or force a turnover, which I don't think Norway may just kneel it out here depending on how much time they have left with the ball.
4th down, Bayless to throw. Got some pressure all the way back to his 20, scrambling, looking to make something happen, fires it down the field. Caught by Jones! He makes the catch at the Norway 30. Not done yet. Not done yet.
Took a play out of Norway's book right there. Miracle play right there on 4th down. I mean, yeah, once again, Bayless under heavy pressure, rolling out and just finding a way to keep his team alive.
I don't know how he had that much strength this late in the game. Here's a handoff to Corbett, and he will get to the 26-yard line. So, again, a 4-yard pickup. But, again, you're up against the clock here. You're going to be coming up on 2 minutes, and you really got to go.
Yeah, I get maybe trying to catch the defense sleeping with the Corbett run, but they aren't falling for it.
Bayless on second down, scrambling, looking for somebody, fires, and in and out of the hands of McIntyre. And guess who knocked it away? Dylan Smith.
Yeah, good coverage that time from Smith. Yeah, got a hand on that one, so it falls incomplete. But he came up a little hobbling after that, but it looks like he'll stay in the game.
Does he remind you of Verasso?
The way he's impacted this game tonight, absolutely.
Just seems to have instinct and nose for the ball on either side, yeah. And just making big plays.
Has that clutch gene or trait, and just, yeah, it makes big plays when you need it.
Third and seven from the 27. Bayless rolling to his left. He's got a man wide open over the middle, but Smith intercepts the ball. He picks it off. Now, the ball is fumbled, and we'll see who's got it. I think McIntyre knocked it away, and he gets the ball back. The Bulldogs will not die.
Jeez, I don't even know. That was that was pure backyard football right there. I mean, Smith comes over at the pick. You're like, oh, this one's over. Then he gets hit and loses it as two Bobcat players are down after that. But, I mean, geez, I don't even know what to say. This game's been insane so far. You think he has been dead in the water so many times, and just someone steps up and just makes a play and just extends their chances.
So McIntyre was open down the middle, but again, Bayless was rolling against his body, so the ball kind of hung up in the air. Smith said, I'll take it. And so he intercepted it, and then as he was returning it, McIntyre hit him from behind, coughed the ball up, and Heath recovers just inside the 20-yard line with 1:42 to go. And I think it is Smith down on the field once again for Norway. They're looking at him at the 13-yard line. But I think you got to go to the end zone right here.
Yeah, with 1:42, I mean, it's don't really have much of a choice now. Try to take a shot in the end zone, or maybe Bayless. Just send everybody deep, see if someone gets open. Plan B will be Bayless scrambles out and tries to create something on the ground. That's kind of been their game plan, I think, tonight anyways. But as looks like Smith's able to walk off on his own. Hopefully just a cramp. He was hobbling a little bit right before that play, so hopefully nothing too serious.
That's the first turnover of the night for Norway.
Yeah.
And it happens on the Bulldogs' fourth turnover of the night. Crazy game. First and 10, Heath at the Bobcat 19. And Bayless will look to keep it and hit behind the line of scrimmage. That's a nice play by Norway. And now that's just going to really put Heath in dire straits as we're under 90 seconds and it's a loss back to the 20. Got to go to the end zone here.
Yeah.
Two wideouts split both sides. Here comes the blitz and the pass incomplete. And the clock will stop with 1:16 to go, and it'll be a third down and 11 from the 20. Well, you got to love the heart and the moxie of the Bulldogs in this second half. Just continued fight, continued just doing everything that they can to try to get back in this ballgame, which they've been able to do. But barring quite the miracle of miracles, it's going to be tough to overcome a 28-0 deficit. But they're still battling. So it's third and 11 from the 20. Bayless in the gun to throw. Got some pressure. He will lob it up in the end zone. Waiting to see who comes down with it. I'm waiting for a signal from the official. They're deciding. They're going to say interception. It looked like both players came down with it, but they're going to say interception, and it took a long time for them to make that call.
Yeah.
But it is going to be an interception, and that will do it with a minute two to go in the ballgame.
It's a tough way for this game to close out for Heath. Looked like you just said, the way they fought back and, you know, they seem at every opportunity to just kind of roll over and just let this one get out of hand. But they kept it interesting in the second half. They were battling back, but just just too many missed opportunities, really, in those big play situations, you know, when Norwayne's, it's fourth down, third and long. They just gave up too many of those conversions, and they just weren't able to convert any of those types of plays, not enough of those types of plays, really, for themselves. They were able to convert a couple fourth downs, some big third downs, but just not nearly enough compared to the Bobcats here, as they'll go into victory formation for probably just one more kneel down after this, and they will prove to 3-0.
We do have officials stopping play because they actually snapped the ball while Coach Tim Ward was talking to the officials. Pretty sure you can't do that.
No.
So, probably have to start back up on first down. But they will remain in victory formation and just kneel down. So that is a quality road win by the Wayne Bobcats coming down here to Licking County and getting a very hard-fought, entertaining 38-25 win over the Bulldogs as they do the kneel down and we are under a minute to go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, I think, too, how Heath comes out next week against Granville. Another big game. You know, the season certainly isn't over. Like you said, with the expansion, he certainly is still locked to get into the postseason, but just the seeding is still really important to who you play in those first couple weeks. But next week is another really quality opponent for them. And, you know, if they come out and play like they did in the second half, and they try to limit, you know, those third and longs that they gave up a lot tonight against Granville, I think they have a good chance to win that game. But like you said, it's going to be easier said than done. That Granville defense is elite, and they have not given up any points so far this year, just 8 points. So Heath will have their work cut out for them, but they will definitely have a good chance to bounce back next week from this loss.
Final score from Swank Field, the Heath Bulldogs fall to the Norwayne Bobcats by a final of 38-25. We'll come back and look at this ball game after a timeout as you've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Everyone's always on a time crunch. Whether you're pushing your team to the end zone to score or pushing to finish the construction job for the customer, so you don't have time to be waiting for materials. Get the lighting and electrical supplies you need when you need them, even in job lot quantities, at Linden Lighting and Supply, 200 West Monroe Street in Zanesville, lindenlighting.com. Get what you need. Get it fast. Get back to work. Good luck to all area teams this year.
60 years of getting the job done right. 60 years of satisfied customers at their homes and businesses.
Houston Plumbing and Heating, your York professional contractor, is celebrating 60 years in business.
Since 1963, our family has been keeping your family safe and comfortable.
Call us at 740-763-3961, where for 60 years and counting, one call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
Listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Lashley Tractor Sales on Kate 98.7.
You want top joint replacement surgery. Knox Community Hospital delivers with 3 fellowship-trained surgeons. Joint classes to fully prepare you for surgery. Clinical advancements like robot-assisted knee replacement. Pain protocols that have most patients home the next day. And coveted national rankings for 4 years running. All to help you beat the pain and heal faster.
Go to kch.org to learn more.
Hey, this is Chris from K-Steps Auto Body. We don't pay commission. And what that means is our technicians have the time and they have the dedication to read the repair manuals. This is so important. It's not exciting reading, and it takes a while. But because we're not paying someone to cut corners, we'll make sure that it's done right. That technician is going to read the repair manual, and they're going to perform that repair according to the manufacturer's specifications. K-Steps Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-steps.com.
K-Steps, quality you can trust.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by K-Steps Auto Body and Service Center on Kate 98.7.
Stop into the toy store and upgrade your ride with epic savings on Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides. This is Jeff Ward, and now through September 30th, you can save on select Polaris Razor, Ranger, Sportsman, and General models with financing options as low as 1.49% APR for qualified buyers. There's no better time to take home a Polaris off-road vehicle. Explore the impressive Polaris lineup during our Upgrade Your Ride sales event at the toy store. Polaris, think outside.
Terms and conditions apply. Not all will qualify for financing rates. See dealer for details. Driver must be at least 16 years old with a valid driver's license to operate.
With power and versatility, the Kubota M7 tractor is built for hay and forage work. Up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, easy-to-use controls, all-day comfort, and your choice of a 30x15 semi-power shift or Kubota variable transmission. And rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your hometown Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville or online at LashleyTractor.com.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Mike's Roofing on Kate 98.7.
We are back at Swank Field. Final score tonight, the Norwayne Bobcats defeat the Heath Bulldogs 38-25. Heath's first loss of the season. It looked like it was going to be a runaway after the first half, with Norwayne leading at 28-0 thanks to a 43-yard touchdown pass on a 4th-and-4, pick six, as well as an 83-yard touchdown pass on a 3rd-and-15. But the Bulldogs did rally in the second half, led by a blocked punt, to start the second half and a 15-yard touchdown pass. And it was 31-7, but Heath was not done with a couple of more touchdowns. Got to within 31-19, but again, a fourth down touchdown pass, this one of 27 yards, kind of sealed the deal. Heath was able to get a 35-yard touchdown pass from Bayless to Connor Corbett late to make the final score 38-25. But five turnovers will be a detriment to your case every time, and just too many third and fourth down conversions that the defense gave up. I think those are the two areas that you just got to clean up moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the third and 15s, third and longs, and the fourth down conversions. Tonight, Norwayne was 3-for-3 on third down, on fourth downs, and they got touchdowns on two of them. So it's just those big game situations, you know, that can really shift the momentum in your favor or in your opposing team's favor tonight. And 9 plays out of 10 tonight, Norway won. So that was really the difference in this one. Also, just in the first half, Heath just did not come out strong, and that, especially in the second quarter. This one really got away from them. You mentioned those five turnovers. Three of them came in that second quarter. Fumble, two interceptions, one interception going back for six. So those turnovers really, really killed them, too. They were just having trouble matching the size and the strength of Norwayne on the defensive and the offensive lines in that first half. That's what really killed them. They were able to make some adjustments, so in the second half, I was really pleased with what they did in the second half. Like I said, they outplayed the Bobcats in the second half, but unfortunately, just too much damage was done in that first half that the Bobcats were able to submerge the Bulldogs tonight.
And Dylan Smith, I mean, one touchdown catch, that first one on the fourth down of the 43 yards, and then making catch after catch on a second or third down, and not one, not two, but he had three interceptions tonight. What a player.
Yeah, almost the game-sealing interception. That same play, he did fumble and turn it back over. But, yeah, when it was a big play, all eyes were on him, and I'm sure pretty much everybody knew that the ball was coming to him, but the Bulldogs just still were not able to stop. But undoubtedly, player of the game tonight. He was just a huge impact, like we mentioned, on those big play situations in this game on both sides of the football.
We'll wrap this one up from Swank Field after our final timeout, as you've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
The experienced heating and cooling professionals that meet any budget is just a phone call away.
your local Lennox dealer. Lucart Heating and Cooling has been installing Lennox systems in Licking County for over 60 years. Installation professionals, Nate certified technicians, and Lennox Innovations make Lucart Heating and Cooling the wise choice. Call 740-344-5497 today. That's 740-344-5497. Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
Hi there, it's Haley from Mike's Roofing, and we're having a vinyl siding sale. Get the best prices of the year now. Call me at 740-763-2867, and I'll send out my Uncle Nicky to give you a free estimate. Then I'll send my dad and my brother over to complete the job. We use pervious siding bought locally at MRV. You don't want to miss out. The vinyl siding sale, I'll be waiting for your call. 740-763-2867. And don't forget, we do roofs too.
Text MikesRoofing.net.
Really, Dad?
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating on Case 98.7.
Don't forget, Licking County Locker Room next Tuesday night from the Ship Brothers Brewing Company, downtown Newark, 6:30. We'll be featuring the Newark Catholic Green Wave. And next Friday night, it will be our High School Game of the Week from Whitefield. Thomas Worthington comes to town to take on the Newark Wildcats, who suffered their first loss of the season tonight. We'll try to get back on the winning track again Friday night. Pregame 6:45, kickoff 7 p.m. Thanks to our engineer and producer, Kenny Beck, joining us back again. Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate you. For Garrett Wandle, this is Brian Mays. Again, your final from Swank Field. The Heath Bulldogs fall to the Norwayne Bobcats by final of 38-25. Have a great and safe Labor Day weekend, everyone. You've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
I don't know how I'm going to get this project finished. Wrenches keep breaking, the lawnmower just cut my extension cords, and I could really use a skid steer loader.
Go to the ER.
Who's that?
Go to the ER.
Go to the ER? But I'm not hurt, just frustrated.
Not the emergency room. Go to Weekend Warriors Equipment Rental for all the tools and help you need to get your project finished right and timely. Weekend Warrior Equipment Rental, Route 13, Thornville, next to Napa.
The Energy Cooperative Operation Roundup Foundation has granted over $3.8 million into our community since 2006. Participating members round up their utility bills to the next dollar, creating funds for school books, playground equipment, community parks, animal rescue, scholarships, and more. The Operation Roundup Foundation Board of Directors say thank you for helping to improve our community. For more information on Operation Roundup grant applications, go to myenergycoop.com/roundup.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
Hi, this is Charlie Burwell from Church Street Floor Covering, and we're happy to welcome back all the high school football players to the field. At Church Street Floor Covering, we support all local athletes and wish them the best of luck this season. If you're looking for flooring that can stand up to whatever your home team throws at it, come see us at Church Street Floor Covering. We've been scoring big points with our customers for over 30 years. Church Street Floor Coverings, across from the Buckeye Valley YMCA. And don't forget to tell them Charlie sent you.
No matter the season, there's always work to do. Husqvarna is always there to make the toughest jobs easier. Husqvarna has been the choice of professionals and homeowners alike for more than 332 years. Wright Brothers Power carries a full range of parts and accessories that add versatility, increase performance, and provide protection for your Husqvarna. For the full lineup of Husqvarna products and accessories, visit Wright Brothers Power at 625 West Church Street.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Lashley Tractor Sales on Kate 98.7. This has been an official WCLT sports presentation on Kate 98.7. You've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7. Tonight's game was brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Licking Memorial Health Systems, KSF's Auto Body and Service Center, Lashley Tractor Sales, and Mike's Roofing.
Carpenter's Market in Somerset, proud supporter of all area high school football teams, invites you to stop in and stock up on all the meat, deli, and dairy items you need. They're open 7 days a week and have the best selection of local produce and local beef. While you're in the store, be sure to check out their weekly specials. You'll save real money on their discounted meat boxes. They're the ideal place to stock up for the colder weather to come. Look for Carpenter's Market on Facebook and at 103 South Columbus Street in Somerset.
Untangling your headphones, finding the right remote, saying goodbye to your favorite shirt that hasn't fit in 10 years. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who live in your community and answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like finding a new favorite shirt. That's simple human sense.
Visit Hummel's Newark office right off the downtown square or online at hummelgrp.com.
Is your job going places? Mine is, and I'm taking people with me. Hi, I'm Kim, a bus operator for Lincoln County Transit. We make a difference in people's lives, transporting them in and around Lincoln and surrounding counties. We have flexible schedules, competitive wages, and great health benefits. Join our team at Lincoln County Transit. No CDL required. Call 740-670-5150. 740-670-5150. Equal opportunity employer.
Your college experience should be built just for you, supporting everything you value most. That's why Ohio University delivers the high-quality education we're known for right here on our Zanesville campus. Whether you're a full-time student or working full-time, Ohio's affordable, flexible degrees are always in demand in our community and can take you anywhere. Earn a degree in your own backyard on your own terms and move your career and your community forever forward. Learn more at ohio.edu/Zanesville.
Coaches often explain a loss by saying their players failed to protect the quarterback.
What is that?
Protecting your assets is important in life as it is in football. I'm Brett Boyer from Boyer Insurance, and our team is here to provide the coverage for your life's fumbles. So if your zone gets flooded or an employee injures their backfield, you can recover. Stay on the ball with the help of our team at Boyer Insurance in Zanesville and Coshocton and online at BoyerINS.com.
Hi, this is Adam Reed with the Lincoln County Veterans Service Commission. Did you serve in the U.S. military? If so, please contact our office. We can provide information and assist you with filing for local, state, and federal veterans benefits, including compensation, non-service-related disability pensions, surviving spouse benefits, health care enrollment, education, emergency financial assistance, and much more. Call 740-670-5430 to schedule an appointment. We are located at 935 Buckeye Avenue in Newark.
At Lincoln Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Lincoln County residents. Our health care technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville or online at lashleytractor.com.
60 years of getting the job done right. 60 years of satisfied customers at their homes and businesses.
Houston Plumbing and Heating, your York professional contractor, is celebrating 60 years in business.
Since 1963, our family has been keeping your family safe and comfortable.
Call us at 740-763-3961, where for 60 years and counting, one call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center on Kate 98.7.